KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
This year, we were with you the whole way. Today, I wanted to revisit some of the craziest news so we could look back on this year and look forward to 2022. Enjoy this episode from earlier this year. We begin with a simple fact. For the left, for the media, for the Democratic Party, the only thing that matters is that the cops are bad. Doesn't matter if the cops are trying to save black people, the cops are bad. And every incident of police violence in America that involves a white police officer and a black suspect, any incident that goes wrong, or even in which the police do their duty, all of those incidents are just emblematic of systemic police racism. This is a point that I made with regard to the Derek Chauvin trial. Whatever you think about Chauvin, whether you think that he was guilty of second and third degree murder and manslaughter, which is sort of odd, and second and third degree murder have different elements, but even if you believe that he was guilty of all of the elements of all of those murders and all of those charges, even if you believe all of that, there was one charge that Derek Chauvin was convicted of and the entire system was convicted of, and that was systemic American racism. And the argument was entirely circular. Derek Chauvin, there was no evidence shown that he killed George Floyd because George Floyd was black. None. Not an iota, not a scintilla. The prosecution never even made that argument. And yet, Derek Chauvin was used as the perfect example, case A, case 1A, exhibit 1A, in the American police are systemically racist argument. And the idea was that because of people like Derek Chauvin, the American police are systemically racist. Also, we have no evidence that Derek Chauvin was actually a racist. So what that means is that American police being systemically racist, that's why he did this. It's perfectly circular. Derek Chauvin is systemically racist because the system is systemically racist, which is systemically racist because Derek Chauvin is systemically racist. At no point do you actually have to show racism anywhere in here. And that's why the Derek Chauvin story was a national story, of course, because otherwise it's just a local crime story. Otherwise, it's just a story of a cop acting in a brutal way. And that's not a national news story. But the idea from the entire media, from the White House, where the president and co-president spoke the other day, the entire story from the left in this country is that every police department is built along the lines of Derek Chauvin. Systemic racism isn't just part of our policing, it's part of our entire way of life. And this is how you have CBS News featuring the racial grifter Ibram X. Kendi talking about how the Derek Chauvin trial is just indicative of how deeply racist America is. And he says that it's not just Derek Chauvin who was on trial, it was all of America that was on trial. Now, you know what? I can guarantee you that the vast majority of police officers in America are not engaging in the sort of activity in which Derek Chauvin was allegedly engaging. But everyone is guilty, and that's the entire argument. The entire argument is that all of America is guilty. Now, the fact that Ibram X. Kendi is being featured on national news is in and of itself insane, considering that Ibram X. Kendi is an actual tyrant. He has suggested that there be a federal Department of Anti-Racism, an unelected body of people who are capable of striking down any law or regulation, federal, state, or local, that ends with inequality of outcome, which is just fascism. Okay, but Ibram X. Kendi is considered an expert on race for the great reason that he parrots in worse writing the ideas of Derek Bell and Richard Delgado about critical race theory, and now he is considered a great thought leader. Jack Dorsey donated $10 million to his Center for Anti-Racism, which to date has produced no serious research. So here's Ibram X. Kendi being featured on CBS News and explaining why the Derek Chauvin trial is really about systemic police racism and truly about systemic American racism more broadly.
Chauvin is headed to jail, but is America headed to justice? Is justice convicting a police officer, or is justice convicting America? When tens of millions of Americans after Floyd's murder last year took to the streets of nearly every American town, we were convicting America. Justice is opening the door to an anti-racist future where American fear is endangered, where I no longer live in fear, where Americans no longer live in fear of me. Justice has convicted America.
Justice has convicted America, and that's what the entire left wants, and that is why CBS News is featuring Ibram X. Kendi saying this. CBS News, super objective stuff there from CBS News. Pretty incredible. By the way, nobody's afraid of Ibram X. Kendi as a human. I'm afraid of his ideas, because his ideas are tyrannical and frightening and horrifying. His ideas are truly terrible. They are garbage, racist ideas. Ibram X. Kendi is a person who has said that discrimination of the past can only be remedied by discrimination today. He is, in fact, a racist. And then he uses that under the guise of, quote-unquote, anti-racism in order to push forward these bizarre ideas of equity that involve serious discrimination on the basis of race. Of course, the Biden administration has embraced this wholesale. We know that the Biden administration is attempting to teach Ibram X. Kendi-type anti-racist crap in the public schools now. According to National Review, President Biden's Department of Education has signaled its intent to impose the most radical forms of critical race theory on America's schools, very much including the 1619 Project and the so-called anti-racism of Ibram X. Kendi. Biden is obviously co-opting conservatives' interest in reviving traditional U.S. history and civics to deliver its perfect opposite. This is according to Stanley Kurtz, writing for National Review. Biden's Department of Education has just released the text of a proposed new rule establishing priorities for grants in American history and civics education programs. That rule gives priority to grant projects that incorporate racially, ethnically, culturally, and linguistically diverse perspectives. The rule goes on to cite and praise the 1619 Project, as well as Kendi, as leading examples of the sorts of ideas the Biden administration wants to spread. Now, there are predictable effects of the critical race theory ideas that are now being fostered in America's public schools, that are being pushed by the media in making heroes of people and prophets of people like Ibram X. Kendi. And the predictable result is a worse way of life for hundreds of millions of Americans. It is fostering lies about the nature of what America is. It is fostering lies about the nature of America's police. In a second, we're going to go through some of the details about policing in the United States and the argument that America's police are systemically racist. We'll get to that in just one second. First, I wanted to let you know, if you really enjoy The Ben Shapiro Show and The Daily Wire, we have a bunch of other shows over at DailyWire.com. Let Michael Knowles tell you about his show.
Hey, Michael Knowles here. As you might expect, I am the host of The Michael Knowles Show. Conservative pessimists say the world can't get any worse. Conservative optimists say it certainly can. Luckily, there is hope and a whole lot of fun to be had at the left's expense. Come check out The Michael Knowles Show at The Daily Wire. You can listen to the show for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, YouTube, or Facebook. It is all over the place. You can watch the full show ad-free on DailyWire.com. And don't miss exclusive videos we make on my YouTube channel, such as my woke commercial reviews and the Chaz Funniest Home videos. We break down everything from Drag Queen Story Hour to the Paris Climate Agreement. So come on over and check out The Michael Knowles Show wherever you get your podcasts. Every Monday through Friday. See you there.
You know, I pretend that I really hate Michael, but it's not hatred. It's more just a strong and intense dislike. You heard it here first, gang. Make sure to check out The Michael Knowles Show. Okay, so let's go through some of the facts about policing in the United States of America. There are literally tens and tens and tens of millions of encounters between the police and civilians every year in the United States. And there has yet to be solid evidence that the police are seeking out black men to harm black men. There is just a report that came out from the Department of Justice Bureau of Justice Statistics in 2020. It found, quote, there is no statistically significant difference by race between how likely people were to commit serious violent crimes and how likely they were to be arrested. In other words, the data suggested that police officers and sheriff's deputies focus on criminals' actions, not their race. See, one of the things that you'll see very often in the media is they'll say, look how many more black people than white people are arrested. Well, that makes sense if more black people than white people per capita are committing crimes. To present those statistics without any underlying information about the reports that are being made about criminal activity is absolutely ridiculous. It's like saying the NBA is unbelievably racist. Look how heavily black the NBA is. And you're like, no, that's just the number of people per capita who are really good at basketball. And to say that the racial statistics with regard to crime are irrelevant to the racial statistics with regard to arrest is to be a fool. You're leaving out the chief confound, which is the underlying activity. In other words, if 60% of reports of a particular crime are about black people and 60% of the arrests are of black people, that's not the fault of the cops. If 10% of the reports are about black people and 60% of the arrests are of black people, then it starts to look a lot like systemic racism, obviously. Heather McDonald reported just a couple of years ago, in 2019, police officers fatally shot 1,004 people, most of whom were armed or otherwise dangerous. African Americans were about a quarter of those killed by cops, a ratio that has remained stable since 2015. That share of black victims is less than what the black crime rate would predict, since police shootings are a function of how often officers encounter armed and violent suspects. In 2018, the latest year for which such data have been published, African Americans made up 53% of known homicide offenders in the United States and committed about 60% of robberies, though they are 13% of the population. It is true that police officers are 18.5 times more likely to be killed by a black male than an unarmed black male is to be killed by the police. In August 2019, the National Academy of Sciences published research showing there was, quote, no significant evidence of anti-black disparity in the likelihood of being fatally shot by police. And then as soon as Heather McDonald cited that stat, the National Academy of Sciences tried to pull down the actual study. There's a widely publicized study in July of 2016 from Roland Fryer of Harvard University surveying over 1,000 police shootings, finding that black suspects are shot less often than white suspects in comparable situations. A deadly force lab study from Washington State University found that the participants were biased in favor of black suspects in simulated threat scenarios. In 2015, the DOJ analyzed the Philadelphia Police Department, found that white officers were actually less likely than black or Hispanic officers to shoot unarmed black suspects. So in other words, this notion that the police are run through with white supremacy is a lie. It is a lie. But because that lie is so common, because it is so crucial to the systemic racism argument, which requires no evidence of actual systemic racism, it just requires that you not understand the phrase. It requires the semantic overload. Because when people on the left say systemic racism, most people just hear racism. They just hear that racists exist. Because here's the game that the left plays. It's a perfect Mott and Bailey argument. They'll say systemic racism. You say, okay, I need evidence that the system itself is racist. You have to show me where in the regulations it is racist, or you have to show me where the policies are designed to be racist. And then the left says, no, what we mean by... Because you are saying that, that means that you don't understand racism. It means that you are, in fact, a racist, because racism does exist. Are you denying that racism exists? No, I'm not denying that racism exists. Only a fool will deny that racism exists. I am denying that the police pursue procedures that are designed to harm black people more than they are designed to harm white people or Mexican people or people of any other ethnicity. In any case, all of this ties together in the generalized leftist belief that the police are bad. Black Lives Matter is not about black lives. It isn't. They just don't care about certain black lives, period, end of story. The only black lives that Black Lives Matter cares about are ones that are ended by the cops, and it doesn't matter what the circumstances of the death are. This is the proof positive today. So today's big cop shooting story is a cop shooting story out of Columbus, Ohio. The headline from the Washington Post: fatal police shooting of black teenager in Columbus sparks a new outcry. Now, from that headline, you'd imagine there's a black teenager who is walking along the street, and a Columbus police officer decided just to gun down that black teenager, right? Fatal police shooting of black teenager in Columbus sparks new outcry. Here's the actual story. Body camera footage from a Columbus police officer's fatal shooting of a black teenager sparked outcry and protests from local activists, national leaders, and even the White House on Wednesday, as it became the latest in a string of deadly videos documenting the final moments of a person of color killed by law enforcement. Okay, now, as we are about to find out, that is missing, you know, the fact pattern. It's missing the actual facts, because nobody in the media gives a bleep about the facts. Nobody on the left, apparently. I'm not talking about liberals. I'm talking about the hard left, who are now driving the party boat here. No one gives a crap about black lives that are not ended by the cops. They don't care about this. They don't care. If a black person kills another black person, they do not care. In fact, it's not just they don't care. They're okay with that, so long as it means there are fewer police officers on the streets. If there are fewer police officers on the streets and more black people get murdered, this is what they are stumping for. This is what they are actively rooting for, apparently. Because here's what actually happened in this story. Watch how far you have to go into this Washington Post piece before you actually get the fact pattern. Okay, paragraph one was all about the evils of this Columbus police officer, condemned by national leaders and local activists in the White House. Paragraph two, the death of 16-year-old Makia Bryant, who was shot by Officer Nicholas Reardon on Tuesday during an altercation. During an altercation, guys, it was just an altercation, comes as the nation is undergoing a broad reckoning over police brutality and racism. Her name joins a long and growing list of black people killed by police officers in deadly interactions that have sparked protests and broad calls for justice. Okay, that was paragraph two. Okay, we still don't know the incident. All we know, they're gradually dripping out what actually happened, right? Because when it turns out that you find out what happened, the cop wasn't just right. The cop saved a black girl. Okay, so paragraph one was, it was really bad. Cop shot a black person. White House hated it. Paragraph two was there was an altercation. That's all we now know. And we know that this person's name has now been added to the list of tragedies in which a black person was shot by a white cop. Coming up, more of this special episode of The Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR 96.5 FM AM 1460 and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
25.
Welcome back. You're listening to a special episode of The Ben Shapiro Show. So we're going through this Washington Post article. We've read through several paragraphs already. It's about the shooting of Makia Bryant by a white police officer in Columbus, Ohio. We've gone through several paragraphs. It takes until about paragraph 8 for them to actually get to, you know, the facts of the case. We are fully 2 paragraphs into the story, and we still don't know the facts surrounding the shooting of Makia Bryant. Paragraph 3. In a sign of how effective those protests have been in drawing attention to the issue of police violence, the details of the shooting were swiftly briefed to President Biden, whose administration has pledged to address systemic racism and overhaul policing. Okay, that was paragraph 3. You still don't know what the hell happened. Paragraph 4. The killing of 16-year-old Makia Bryant by Columbus police is tragic, said White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki. Okay, paragraph 5. As Psaki was drawing a connection between Bryant's killing and the broader trend of disproportionate use of force against minorities by police, officials in Columbus sought to calm tensions by quickly releasing information about the incident. That's paragraph 6. I wish to hell it hadn't happened, interim police chief Michael Woods told reporters after releasing the footage and the 911 calls that led officers to respond. Woods said the officer has been with the department since December 2019, has been placed on administrative leave. Okay, that is paragraph 7. You notice that we are now like halfway through the story and you still don't know what the hell happened in this shooting. All you know is that a black girl got shot and a white police officer did the shooting. You still don't know. It takes all the way until paragraph 9 before you actually get to the facts of the shooting. Quote, the footage released Wednesday shows a chaotic scene. The officer identified as Reardon arrives during a physical altercation involving several people. Reardon, who is white, can be seen emerging from his vehicle as Bryant appears to chase someone who falls onto the sidewalk. The teen then turns towards someone else wearing a pink sweatsuit and takes a swing at her hand with what appears to be a blade briefly visible in her hand. The officer yells "Get down" multiple times before firing four shots at the girl, leaving her sprawled next to a car in the driveway. "She had a knife. She just ran at her," one officer says on the footage. Another clip showed officer performing CPR on Bryant. This is a case where a girl was attempting to stab another girl. And this was covered in paragraph 9 of the Washington Post story. Paragraph 9. NBC News is even worse. NBC News put up the body cam footage. They took out the part with the knife, and they took out the part from the 911 call where somebody actually reported that the girl had a knife in the first place. They just cut it out. The media are rooting for the cops to go down. That is all this is. The media are openly rooting for this stuff right now. Here's the edited clip from NBC News.
Police body cam video shows Micaiah Bryant's final moments when a Columbus, Ohio police officer responding to a call gets out of his car and seconds later fatally shoots the 16-year-old girl. Officer Nicholas Reardon, who joined the force in December of 2019, was responding to a 911 call.
We need a police officer here now.
Video shows Reardon approaching a group of young people in this driveway.
It wasn't just NBC News. Right? CNN. There are growing questions, according to Wolf Blitzer, about what just happened in Columbus. Now, it seems to me that once you know what happened, there actually should be lessening questions, should there not? There should be a decrescendo of questioning, considering that we now know that the cop shot a black girl who was attempting to stab another black girl. But here's the thing. If the cop had never shown up and Micaiah Bryant had stabbed the other girl to death, nobody would have cared. Nobody would have cared. Nobody in the media. Nobody in Black Lives Matter, not LeBron James, not the White House, they wouldn't have given two damns about that girl's life. How do I know? I know that because it did happen, okay, in Cincinnati, Ohio, 2 days ago. A 13-year-old girl was stabbed to death. 13-year-old black girl was stabbed to death by another 13-year-old girl. This is not a national news story because no one cares if a black person stabs another black person to death and they're both 13. Nobody cares. If the cop had shown up and shot the 13-year-old black girl who's stabbing the other girl, then it would be a national news story about systemic police racism. Here's a story that actually matters from Cincinnati, Ohio, because it turns out that the homicide statistics in black America are devastating, are crippling. The number of black Americans killed unarmed by the police every year is under 20. The number of black Americans who are killed in homicides every year is thousands upon thousands. I mean, we're talking, in the year 2019 alone, about 7,500 black Americans who were killed in homicides. The vast majority of those people were killed by other black people because most crime in America is intra-racial. I mean, seriously, this true absurdity that we are supposed to pay attention only when a cop is involved demonstrates that this is not about saving black lives, not in the slightest. It's about the reverse. It's about we don't care if more black people get killed so long as we dismantle the cops. It is just anti-cop hatred. Here is this case from Cincinnati. Ain't nobody going to pay attention to this because it was just a 13-year-old black girl whose life mattered also, but not to the media, because it wasn't ended by a cop.
I held her. I watched her as she died. I watched her, held her. All I could do was hold her. You know, but it...
Devastation, heartache, loss.
I tried to stop the bleeding.
Are you devastated by that? Because you should be devastated by that. It turns out that Nyara Givens, which is the name of the girl who was stabbed, you should say her name much more often than you say the name of the girl who was attempting to stab another girl and got shot by the police. Nyara Givens didn't do anything. She was just stabbed to death. But you don't care about that in the media. That's not a national, that's a local crime story. It's not a national news story. It's just amazing. But don't worry, the questions are growing in Columbus. Not in Cincinnati, in Columbus. Here's Wolf Blitzer talking about the growing questions in Columbus.
We're also following developments in Columbus, Ohio, where there are now growing questions about the deadly police shooting of 16-year-old African-American Micaiah Bryant. Police are releasing more body camera video that appears to show Bryant wielding a knife and officers warning her several times to get down before she seems to lunge at another girl and police open fire.
Okay. The growing seems to lunge, not lunges. Okay, and it was across the media. It was just lying about the case, just lying about it. Outright. Pretty incredible. Coming up, more of this special episode of The Ben Shapiro Show.
Do you have a friend that won't shut up about crypto? Are you interested but don't know where to go? What is Web3? How does it affect me? Who benefits from DeFi? Is one crypto best? Why? There's so much to know? Get answers with Tokens Radio Show. Connect with us on Telegram at t.me/tokensradioshow or tokensradioshow.com.
Sunday afternoons from 2 to 3.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drought. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
Greetings to my fellow veterans. This is Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of Veterans Affairs for the state of California. I'm a Korean vet, and it's my honor to serve in the U.S. Army as a new immigrant to this great country. Thank you for your service. It will not be forgotten. It should be remembered that freedom is not free. It has been secured by brave sacrifice that all members of our military and their families have given since the beginning of a great, wonderful nation. Thank you for your service.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA or go online to sfymca.org.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2222 or online at homecomfort.org, and they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Welcome back. You're listening to a special episode of The Ben Shapiro Show. The Black Lives Matter movement is not about black lives. It is only about wrecking the cops. So make no mistake, this is not about police officers behaving in ways that violate the law. This is not about Derek Chauvin and whether Derek Chauvin committed manslaughter or second-degree murder. This is about police officers just doing their jobs. Okay, now I'm going to show you the actual body cam footage. I think it's important that you actually see the body cam footage of what happened in this particular case. Here's the actual body cam footage of what happened in this particular case, because by all the narrative that I've given you to this point, you would think that the cop did something wrong. The cop saved a black girl's life. That's what happened here. But he wasn't supposed to save the black girl's life. He was supposed to let Makia Bryant stab this other girl to death. And then he would have been doing his job, apparently. Because Black Lives Matter does not give a damn about black lives unless it also has to do with dismantling the police. That's the real agenda. Here is the body cam footage.
What's going on? Hey, what's going on? Hey, 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 get down, get down, get down, get down.
Hey, no, you ain't shoot my baby. You shot my baby.
Okay, that girl is coming out. If you screen cap it, what you will see from the body cam footage is Makia Bryant lunging at the other girl with a knife. You can see her do it. I mean, it's horrifying footage. You don't want to watch. That's a knife in her hand. She has a knife in her hand. She's about to stab this other girl. In fact, the woman who didn't get stabbed, this woman who's wearing the pink bodysuit, she says later in the body cam footage, she was trying to stab me with a knife. Here she was.
She came out at you with a knife earlier?
No, she just, that's what the police
that,
did.
That lady
she came
on the floor?
She came after me.
With a knife?
Yeah, so he got her.
But that woman whose life was just saved by the cop, her life apparently doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If she'd been stabbed to death right there on the sidewalk, wouldn't matter because Makia Bryant made TikTok videos and the cop is bad because the cop is white and cops are always bad. Michael Eric Dyson of MSNBC said that, you know, the police show more discretion when it's whites wielding machetes. Again, statistically speaking, more whites than blacks are shot by the cops. And according to Professor Mostas at John Jay College, police are more likely to shoot a white suspect who is a danger to them than a black suspect. But none of that matters. Here's Michael Eric Dyson lying.
The police will not exercise discretion, will not use a reduced sense of engagement to preserve black life. We see constantly, we see videos of white people wielding machetes, chasing police people around. A white man with a gun on his seat as the police extract their revolvers from their holsters, pointing them at him, demanding he get out, and he refuses to and takes off, and they don't shoot him.
It's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. I mean, it's not true. Okay, there's a lot of body cam footage. All body cam footage is by its very nature anecdotal because it's a single incident. All we have are data, and the data do not back up anything that Michael Eric Dyson is saying right there. None of that matters. The only thing that matters is that the cops suck and they need to be gotten rid of, and if that means more dead black people, the media don't give two damns about it. It's unbelievable. You want to talk about systemic racism? The systemic racism of a media that does not care if thousands of additional black people die every year because the cops aren't there to protect them against people committing criminal acts. The media are responsible for that. The media are pushing that. It's unreal. Politicians are pushing this, by the way. MSNBC's Joy Reid, who is just a font of utter insanity on a constant basis, here's what she tweeted out with regards to Makia Bryant. So there's a woman named Brittany Cooper who said, I'm not watching that body cam footage. Always, it's amazing how many people will preface a statement that is false by saying that they won't look at the evidence that their statement is false. I'm not watching that body cam footage, but we see story after story of the cops managing to take white men who threaten them with guns, knives, and even ram their cars into police officers alive. Yet somehow, anytime they engage with black folks, it's shoot first. And Joy Reid said this part right here. There's no statistical evidence this is the case, and you have to admire the incredible temerity of people who say, I refuse to look at the evidence, but... Okay, and then she followed that up, said, thanks, Professor Crunk. Her TikTok videos broke my heart. We decided we wanted our audience to see her joyful and alive. Whatever happened to that house between those girls, an adult should have tried to talk them down and help. Makia Bryant did not need to die. She was a child. Well, you know, obviously, you know, whatever happened, including a person lunging at another person with a knife, the cops, what are the cops supposed to do? Talk to her while she's attempting to stab somebody? What is the preferred outcome? Would a social worker have been really useful right about that moment when Makia Bryant was flying out that front door and trying to stab that other girl? well done from Joy Reid. Cornell William Brooks on CNN, same thing. Says this was just a schoolyard fight. So now the left is full-scale engaged in downplaying deadly criminal activity to own the cops. It's pretty unbelievable. Here is Cornell William Brooks on CNN.
The question we have to ask ourselves, what if it were your daughter? What if it were your child? What if it were a member of your family, your neighbor, in a essentially a teenage fight, a schoolyard fight? Certainly the facts will emerge, but we are right to ask, why can't we put the accent on life, children's lives, as opposed to simply assuming the best we can do is simply kill another child?
We saw the body cam footage. It was just a schoolyard fight, though. It's just a schoolyard fight, you know, like a schoolyard fight, like the one in which a 13-year-old girl was killed in Cincinnati, Ohio, that you don't care about her name, Nyara Gibbons. You don't care about her. Don't bother saying her name. She's just a statistic. This is an incident. She was just a statistic, and she's just a statistic because she wasn't killed by a white cop. It is truly unbelievable. So, it didn't stop there. Bree Newsom, who's a Black Lives Matter activist, her tweets were flying around the internet yesterday. Quote, teenagers have been having fights, including fights involving knives, for eons. We do not need police to address these situations by showing up to the scene and using a weapon against one of the teenagers. Y'all need help. I mean that seriously. I mean, hell, in Romeo and Juliet, teenagers were stabbing each other. We didn't need anybody to stop that. I mean, the Jets and the Sharks are going at each other routinely. Knife fights. It's just a thing teenagers do. I remember in my teenage days when old Bob took off one of my ears and we laughed together, had a beer. It's just something teenagers do. Cops shouldn't be involved when teenagers fight each other with knives. Okay, and this goes all the way up to the White House. Jen Psaki, who has been briefed on the situation, she says that this is just another element of systemic racism. It's always systemic racism. Systemic racism. Again, the truly systemically racist people are the people who pursue policy that is designed and known to lead to more black loss of life. That would be systemic racism, is if you pursue a policy that you know indubitably will lead to more dead black people. And then you pursue that policy. So let's say that policy, removing all the cops from areas of high crime, which is exactly what Democrats are doing. Would you call that systemic racism? Looks a lot more like systemic racism than the cops saving one black girl by shooting a black girl who's attempting to kill her. Here is Jen Psaki engaging in some systemic racism of her own here.
The killing of 16-year-old Mikayla Bryant by the Columbus police is tragic. She was a child. We're thinking of her friends and family in the communities that are hurting and grieving her loss. And her death came, as you noted, just as America was hopeful of a step forward after the traumatic and exhausting trial of Derek Chauvin and the verdict that was reached. So our focus is on working to address systemic racism and implicit bias head on, and of course to passing laws and legislation that will put much needed reforms into place at police departments around the country.
It's unbelievable. A cop shoots a black girl to save another black girl, and the outcome is systemic racism and implicit bias from the White House. From the White House. And then you have LeBron James, the greatest and wisest of all Americans. LeBron James is a visionary. I mean, he's willing to take millions of dollars from China and allow China to basically commit whatever human rights violations they want to commit, and then he'll defend China. Sure, LeBron James doesn't know his ass from his elbow when it comes to actual statistics with regard to policing or race in the United States. Sure, LeBron James, who is worth approximately $1 billion, goes around talking about how he lives in existential fear of the cops, which is pretty incredible. Sure, LeBron James doesn't really know things. But here's the thing. The media have dubbed him a new wonder worker in American politics. They've dubbed him an important figure in American politics, even though he doesn't know things. When I say that LeBron James doesn't know things, I mean, it's pretty obvious he doesn't know things. I mean, just last year, he was carrying around the autobiography of Malcolm X, and he was asked specifically, what do you like about this autobiography? And the tape is somewhat revealing. LeBron James knows the slogans, but didn't know much beyond that. So here's LeBron James explaining what he loves most about Malcolm X's autobiography about a year ago.
So you're holding the autobiography of Malcolm X along with Alex Haley. I don't know how far you are into the book, but what's your biggest takeaway so far?
Just a very, very smart man. Very, very, very smart man. And basically, his words in the 60s and what was going on is actually what's going on today still.
Well, it's that sort of brilliant knowledge and incredible wisdom and real insight about race in America that led LeBron James to tweet yesterday a picture of the cop in this case. The cop who just saved a black girl's life. There's a picture of the cop, and it said, "You're next." all capitals, you're next, with a little hourglass next to it, hashtag accountability. You didn't care about the circumstances. You didn't care about any of that. All that mattered, it was white cop, black person got shot. Nothing else mattered. Then he took it down, because it turns out that he looked like an insane fool. Because it turns out that when you attack a police officer for saving a black person's life, you look like a damned ass. But LeBron James didn't care about that, because LeBron James doesn't care about honesty. All he cares about is the fact that he's been treated as a princely figure in American life his entire adult life. He tweeted out, he took it down, here's what he tweeted. I'm so damn tired of seeing black people killed by police. I notice he's not so damn tired of seeing black people killed by other black people, because he never tweets about that. He doesn't care about that. He doesn't care if the police save black people by killing black victimizers. That doesn't matter to him. He's so damn tired of seeing black people killed by police. I took the tweet down because it's being used to create more hate. Not because you're wrong. Not because you look like an ass. Not because it was used to create more hate. Oh, it was a hateful tweet. You were literally calling for the prosecution of a police officer who just saved a black woman's life, LeBron. He said, this isn't about one officer. It's never just about one officer. It's about the entire system. And they always use our words to create more racism. I am so desperate for more accountability. How about some accountability for your own words, LeBron? How about some accountability for slandering a man who just saved a black woman's life? I hope he sues LeBron out of existence. Seriously. I hope LeBron has to sign him a nice big fat settlement check for that tweet. He would certainly deserve it. But this is LeBron's America, don't you understand? LeBron is a thought leader. The media agree with LeBron. The White House agrees with LeBron. The circumstances of these cases do not matter. There's only one uniting thread, and that is that white America and all of its systems are racist, and that any white cop who shoots a black person, even in the course of doing his job or saving other black people, is bad, because that, again, is indicative of how terrible the system is. We'll get to more of this in just one second, because this has some real consequences in policy. And those consequences in policy, by the way, will end with more dead black people. In a study recently done between 2014 and 2019, the Ferguson protests, the Black Lives Matter movement, has resulted in somewhere between 1 and 6,000 more dead people, mostly black, in America's major cities. Over the course of last year, murder rate in America's major cities, 34 of America's major cities, averaged a 30% increase. In certain cities, it was up almost 100%. In just a second, we'll get to more of this, more of the left pushing the lie that the police are the bad guys here. It's just about cop hatred. And the whirlwind that is being reaped will be sown in terms of more innocent dead people, many of them black. It's devastating stuff. We're going to get to more of this in just one second. First, if you really enjoy The Ben Shapiro Show and The Daily Wire, we have a bunch of other shows over at DailyWire.com. Let Matt Walsh tell you about his show.
Hey, this is Matt Walsh, host of The Matt Walsh Show. Most of us, you know, don't wake up in the morning thinking about what the bureaucrats in D.C. are up to. At least I don't. Our concerns are more immediate than that, which is why I focus on social issues, culture, family, faith, even sometimes pop culture. Political issues are important, but I don't think they're the most important thing or the most entertaining thing, frankly. So if you're looking for a conservative show that goes beyond politics and brings you stories the mainstream media tries to ignore, come check out The Matt Walsh Show, Monday through Friday, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, YouTube, Facebook, anywhere you go for podcasts, I'm there. Plus, if you check it out on DailyWire.com, you can watch the entire show ad-free. The Matt Walsh Show. Check it out. I'll see you there.
If you're looking for cynicism, depression, and also hilarity, Matt is the place to go. Make sure you check out Matt's show. Coming up, more of this special episode of The Ben Shapiro Show.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
The Night Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is part of Operation Holiday Salute, honoring our veterans and the men and women who are currently on active duty for their courage, bravery, and sacrifice. North Valley Distributing at 530-222-1500 wants to thank the brave men and women who have taken an oath and have proudly served or are currently serving our country and the American people. North Valley Distributing, part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
The official meeting of the Business to Business meeting is called to order. Business to Business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
Well, I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No, business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win!
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and priced right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
Welcome back. You're listening to a special episode of The Ben Shapiro Show. Very important people in America's racial conversation just lie outright about circumstances surrounding police shootings. The lie matters more than the truth. You want to talk systemic racism, you got to talk about the fact that there are so many people in positions of power on the left who do not give a damn if innocent black people die because they've decided to wreck the cops. That includes people like Benjamin Crump, who can be found at every racial conflagration in America. He tweeted out, this is what he tweeted after the Makia Bryant shooting, quote, "As we breathed a collective sigh of relief today, a community in Columbus felt the sting of another police shooting as Columbus police killed an unarmed 15-year-old black girl named Makia Bryant. Another child lost. Another hashtag. Hashtag justice for Makia Bryant." Okay, one problem. She wasn't unarmed. But that's typical of Ben Crump. Ben Crump says that kind of crap all the time. Every single case where Ben Crump jet sets, he completely botches the fact pattern. And then the media pick up the fact pattern and they start mimicking the lying fact pattern. Valerie Jarrett, former chief of staff to Barack Obama, she tweeted out, "A black teenage girl named Makia Bryant was killed because a police officer immediately decided to shoot her multiple times in order to break up a knife fight. Demand accountability. Fight for justice." So now you don't just want cops to go to jail for using excessive force like Derek Chauvin. You want cops to go to jail for stopping the murder of another black person. Here's what I'm gathering. All you want is the cops in jail. That's all. You just want the cops in jail. Or you don't want there to be cops at all. And in fact, some people are being pretty clear about this. Hundreds of people gathered at Ohio State University. They gathered outside the Ohio Union. They staged a sit-in inside the building on Wednesday to protest Ohio State's relationship with the Columbus Police following the recent Columbus Police killing of Makia Bryant. First of all, I think that the Columbus Police, if they have the option, should just tell Ohio State University, "You're on your own. Enjoy." Seriously, have at it, everybody. We're out. Organizers told the crowd the protest was for police abolition, not reform. They also called out the university for not acknowledging Tuesday's shooting and said its relationship with Columbus police makes students feel unsafe. Oh, the students feel unsafe, do they? Imagine how unsafe they will feel when there are no cops. Because you know who's going to be the chief target of crime if you get rid of the cops at Ohio State University? All the privileged kids going to Ohio State University. That's who. A lot of laptops lying around in backpacks at Ohio State University. The protest came after Bryant, a black 16-year-old girl in foster care, was shot and killed on the southeast side of Columbus on Tuesday. Protesters sat in silence inside the Ohio Union for 16 minutes for Bryant's age in solidarity with her. No solidarity with the girl she was trying to stab, I've noticed. But again, the facts don't matter. I mean, it's impressive stuff. It's impressive stuff. And again, it has nothing to do with anything except cop hatred. That's all. It's just anti-cop hatred. And it'll be reflected in policy because that is, in fact, the next step is the reflection in policy, which is why what you are seeing right now is the Biden DOJ cracking down on the Minneapolis Police Department. So the same Minneapolis police that just had the chief testify against an officer and had several officers testify against an officer. Now, the Biden Justice Department has announced an investigation of the Minneapolis Police Department. According to Annie McCarthy, fired Minneapolis Police Department officer Derek Chauvin was convicted yesterday afternoon on all three homicide counts in the racially charged George Floyd case. With the inevitability of the morning sun, Attorney General Merrick Garland, super moderate guy, announced this morning the Justice Department is launching a pattern or practice investigation of the MPD. The pretext is that the evidence in Chauvin's case suggests the police department as a whole is driven by systemic racism. This despite the fact that some of the most compelling testimony in Chauvin's trial came from MPD officials. You knew it was coming. The Obama administration made a habit of exacerbating tensions created by police-involved incidents involving black men. Its Justice Department then exploited such controversies to carry out a federalization of local law enforcement in conformance with Obama-preferred progressive policing. The feds don't go after the locals on the individual case. There'll be no civil rights criminal prosecution of Chauvin and the other ex-cops because they don't have the actual material to do so. Instead, the DOJ uses vague standards Democrats have written into civil law, amplified by the DOJ's gargantuan budget for litigating against states and municipalities to quote-unquote reform entire police departments. As Annie McCarthy wrote several years ago, the Justice Department civil rights investigations that Eric Holder was fond of announcing are not like public trials. They occur out of the public eye, where feverish Justice Department claims are not aired and scrutinized. More significantly, they happen with the air of extortion created by the nearly $28 billion in funding Congress keeps giving justice every year, no matter how many congressional investigations it obstructs, false statements its officials make, how much it politicizes law enforcement. During the Obama administration, there were more than 20 major American cities and their police departments beholden to the Obama Justice Department. They signed consent decrees that basically allowed the feds to run the police departments to the great detriment of the citizens of these cities, who were then affected by the fact that the police couldn't actually do their job. Seattle was snagged by the DOJ. It's been under a consent decree since the Justice Department targeted it in 2012 for a quote-unquote pattern or practice of violations, allegedly including subjecting individuals to excessive force, and crime went up, because that's how all of this works. Meanwhile, other cities are looking to crack down on their own police force. Apparently, Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot is considering requiring a superior's permission before you actually engage in a foot chase. So if somebody has a gun and they're running away from a cop, you have to call into your superior and ask, can I chase this person who is dangerous and carrying a gun and running around the city after having just shot at a moving car, for example? You have to call a superior. Makes sense? Meanwhile, in Manhattan, they are no longer prosecuting prostitution as part of a nationwide shift. Prosecutors, local prosecutors in major American cities have decided they're not going to prosecute low-level crimes. We're about to see an explosion of crime in the major cities that we haven't seen since the 1960s. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be horrifying for the citizens who live in these cities. But if democracy is the theory, as H.L. Mencken put it, that the people deserve to get what they want, good and hard, then they're about to get it, good and hard. I don't know a single cop who's not thinking about quitting right now. Every cop I know who is on a force is attempting to get off street duty. Because why in the world would you be on street duty when you could go and save a black person's life and then be condemned in the media and consigned to the hell of a country that turns on you and calls you emblematic of systemic racism for saving a black person's life, for volunteering to take a job in which you are in the highest crime communities to save innocent black people? You are now called a member of a systemically racist system. You're about to see an explosion of crime. You are. And the consequences are not going to be, as I keep saying over and over, they won't be held by Ben Crump. The consequences are not going to be held by Al Sharpton. The consequences are never going to fall upon Wolf Blitzer at CNN or Jason Johnson over at MSNBC or Jonathan Capehart at the Washington Post. Those people are doing fine. The consequences are going to be felt by people who live in high crime areas, who just want to live their lives, who just want to run their business, who do live in everyday fear of criminality. Those people are the ones who pay the price because of the most robust finding in social science. When you get rid of the cops, people die. Congressional Republicans right now, they should be pushing a bill to the fore right now for increased funding for the cops all over the country. Because Democrats are certainly pursuing the opposite. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. President Biden urging Russia to, quote, de-escalate tensions with Ukraine. Greg Clugston reports.
In a 50-minute phone call, the president warned Russia's Vladimir Putin that the United States could impose new sanctions against Moscow if it takes further military action against Ukraine. Putin responded that such a move by the U.S. could lead to a complete rupture of ties between the nations. The call took place amid growing alarm over Russia's troop buildup near Ukraine, a situation described by the White House as a crisis. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Officials in Colorado say at least six people have been injured in the wildfires, but thankfully so far there's been no reports of any fatalities. Nearly 600 homes and other businesses destroyed by the flames. Also at townhall.com, World Health Organization chief says he's very optimistic the pandemic will be defeated in 2022. Provided countries work together.
The WHO's New Year's resolution is to get 70% of people everywhere vaccinated by mid-2022. But the WHO warns if richer countries continue to hoard vaccines, variants will continue to emerge and the pandemic will drag on.
BBC correspondent Imogene Folks reporting. The Rose Parade and Rose Bowl game between Ohio State and Utah will go forward New Year's Day despite rising cases of COVID. The 133rd edition of the Pasadena tradition is scheduled to have some 20 marching bands, 18 different equestrian units, and according to one source, dozens and dozens of floats. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is Sebastian Gorka, and I want to invite you to join me for a powerful travel opportunity that will likely become the highlight of your year. I'm headed to Israel in November 2022 for a 10-day Stand with Israel tour of the key sites and best places meant to give you an unprecedented view of a world you've likely only read or heard about. Together, we'll uncover key geopolitical insights as we unpack Israel's significance on the world stage. You'll return home empowered by the experience. If you've ever dreamt of visiting Israel, this is your opportunity. Come with me in 2022. For more information, call 855-565-5519 or book online at standwithisraeltour.com. 855-565-5519 or standwithisraeltour.com.
New poll finds less than half of Americans will be making New Year's resolutions.
Planning to do better in 2022? You're in the minority, as most Americans won't be making New Year's resolutions, but those who do expect to keep them. The latest Rasmussen Report's national telephone and online survey finds that 44% of American adults say they will make any New Year's resolutions this year, 43% will not make New Year's resolutions, while another 13% aren't sure. A survey of 1,000 U.S. American adults was conducted December 27th and 28th by Rasmussen Reports. The margin of error is plus or minus 3% with a 95% level of confidence. Bernie Bennett reporting.
Staff members and guests at a homeless facility in South Dakota each received $100 bills for Christmas thanks to an anonymous donor. A spokeswoman says it was humbling to be selected by the donor. By the way, the donor wanted to make sure the residents know they are special people. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. A jury has held Teva Pharmaceuticals responsible for contributing to the opioid crisis. We have more on that story from correspondent John Scott.
Jurors delivered their verdict in a sweeping lawsuit filed by New York State and joined by two Long Island counties. The Suffolk County jury found the company played a role in furthering a public nuisance. Teva is known for making generic drugs, but the lawsuit focused on the brand name fentanyl drugs Actique and Fentora. They are approved for some cancer patients. The lawsuit accused Teva of repeatedly promoting them more broadly for other types of pain. Teva says it strongly disagrees with the verdict and plans to appeal. John Scott reporting.
Wall Street numbers on this, the final day of the year. Dow Industrials losing 59 points. The NASDAQ dropped 96. S&P 500 was off 12 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR1460.com.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hey, welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. This show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Don't like big tech and the government spying on you? Visit expressvpn.com/Ben. 2021 was insane. Hopefully, we were able to keep you in the know and empower you with the facts and have some fun along the way. Today, I want to look back at some of my favorite moments of 2021 from the Ben Shapiro Show. Alrighty, so you may have noticed that critical race theory has become the topic of the day. And the media are fighting mad about it. They are very, very angry about this. As we'll discuss, critical race theory has been infiltrating our institutions for literally decades. And it is the ideology that has taken over most of our major institutions. This is why we saw the specter last week of an admiral in the United States Navy explaining why he had recommended that sailors be reading Ibram X. Kendi, who's one of the great race grifters and racists of our time. It's the reason why there are corporations all over America training their workers that if they are white, they suffer from inevitable whiteness. And this inevitable whiteness is, in fact, a symptom of discrimination. It's like to do the work in order to be properly woke and in order to properly address their own flaws, these inherent flaws in them. Not that they've done anything bad in their life, but because of their whiteness, they are bad. This is why you see corporations giving money to things like Ibram X. Kendi Center. That's why you see Jack Dorsey of Twitter giving $10 million to Ibram X. Kendi Center for Anti-Racist Research, which to date has produced no actual research. It's the reason why you see the media consistently using the language of CRT, always using the language of equity rather than the language of equality. The language of equality is in the Declaration of Independence. It's in the Constitution. The language of equity is not, because equity is a mush term that in modern parlance has come to mean equal outcome rather than actual fairness. Right? Fairness, typically speaking, if you go back to the ancients, the idea is fairness is you get what you deserve, right? Your action results in particular results, and this would be equity. This would be justice. That is not what the modern definition of equity means. The modern definition of equity means that no matter what your action, the outcome should always be the same. Because after all, the system is rigged against you, and failure is just a symptom that the system is rigged against you. The basic tenets of critical race theory have, in fact, been watered down and then spread like manure all the way through most of our major institutions, from corporate America to the media to academia, where it began, and certainly into the halls of government. And what you see from the media is an unwillingness to confront this or a willingness to champion it. The media's reaction on this has been utterly irresponsible because, of course, they are proponents of CRT. CRT is not merely a legal theory. It started off as a legal theory, sort of like intersectionality started off as a legal theory. And then it became an actual activist point. This happens in politics all the time, by the way. There are kind of highfalutin theories, and then they are kind of dehydrated and dehydrated more and dehydrated more to the point where they become a pill. And then all you do is you take the pill and now you have become sort of an advocate for that ideology. And the game that people like to play is that after people take that pill and you get the inevitable results of that pill, then they say, well, you know, that really has nothing to do with the original ideology, right? This is just a boiling down of that. But here is the reality. The reality is that CRT was corrupt and wrong in its first instance, and that the logical progression of CRT, what we are seeing now, is in fact connected to critical race theory. So I'm going to start today by going through what exactly critical race theory is in the words of some of the creators of critical race theory. And then we're going to show you how the media boiled this down and how terrible it is for America, because they are actively spreading this stuff. Now, the reason that I'm bringing this up is because yesterday I was browsing in advance of the show, and I noticed that the front page of the Washington Post, like the front page of the Washington Post, had this video on it. Okay, and the title on the video, it's from some new show they call The Lily, is "What is White Racial Identity and Why is it Important?" And the first thing that occurred to me when I saw this, by the way, is that video that was put out by the comedian I'm trying to remember his name, Ryan something. That video in which it showed a woke person and a racist person, and it turns out they agreed on everything. Okay, because how else do you get a headline from the Washington Post that says, what is white racial identity and why is it important? This is at the very top of the Washington Post page. And it was connected to a 5-minute video about basically why you are, if you are white, you're inevitably guilty and you're responsible for evil citizen, evil systems that are promulgated throughout American life and that result in inequity. The video is amazing. So we're going to start, before we get to the video, with an explanation of what CRT is. And then you'll see how it has been basically rebranded, repackaged, gussied up, and then just shoved in your face via places like the Washington Post. Okay, so here are the basic tenets of critical race theory. Okay, Richard Delgado and Gene Stefanchik were two of the founders of critical race theory in the late 1970s. Okay, so what I'm about to quote is from their book, Critical Race Theory, an Introduction. And the reason I'm doing this is because one of the games that the media loves to play is when you say critical race theory, they will say, what do you even mean by critical race theory? What I mean is exactly what the founders of critical race theory are saying. How about that? Okay, what I mean by critical race theory is exactly what critical race theory is. I don't mean what the media say that it is because they lie about it. I don't mean what people who don't know what critical race theory say that it is. Okay, critical race theory was like assigned reading when I was at Harvard Law School. This was a well-respected branch of thought at Harvard Law School when I was there. And that was all the way back in 2007 I graduated. And so here is some of what they say, Delgado and Stefanchik, in Critical Race Theory, an Introduction. Quote, although critical race theory began as a movement in the law, it has rapidly spread beyond that discipline. Okay, so this gives the lie that you'll sometimes hear from people in the media. Well, you know, it was just a legal way of looking at things. It really has nothing to do with the activism. We see it wrong. Okay, even the founders of that movement understand that it is a movement. It start, like most things in life, it started as an academic theory and then eventually turned into a political activist movement. And Marxism originally started as an academic theory, and then it turned into a politically activist movement that resulted in the slaughter of, you know, 100 million people. Okay, so it turns out a lot of ideological movements eventually turn out to be practical political movements. So here's what they write. Although critical race theory began as a movement in the law, it has rapidly spread beyond that discipline. Today, many in the field of education consider themselves critical race theorists who use CRT's ideas to understand issues of school discipline and hierarchy, tracking controversies over curriculum and history, and IQ and achievement testing. Political scientists ponder voting strategies coined by critical race theorists. Ethnic studies courses often include a unit on critical race theory, and American studies departments teach material on critical white studies developed by CRT writers. Unlike some academic disciplines, critical race theory contains an activist dimension. Again, this is the founders admitting this is an activist ideology. It not only tries to understand our social situation, but to change it. It sets out not only to ascertain how society organizes itself along racial lines and hierarchies, but to transform it for the better. Okay, remember, it's not me saying it. These are the founders of critical race theory saying this. It is an activist ideology designed to tear away at the systems of the United States. And they're bragging that it has spread into every major discipline in the United States. So it's not the right that's claiming this. This is not some sort of chimera. It's not a figment of our imagination. The people who founded it brag openly about how this ideology has spread throughout our institutions. Everything from testing philosophy with regard to educational movements to how people vote, right? All of that has been bled in with regard to CRT. So what are the principles of critical race theory? So there are essentially four laid out by Delgado and Stefanchik in this particular book. There are two that pretty much everybody agrees on, and then there are two that are kind of argued about because they're in direct conflict with one another. Okay, so the first two that everybody agrees about are, quote, first, that racism is ordinary, not aberrational, normal science, the usual way society does business, the common, everyday experience of most people of color in this country. Right? So that means that you are racist even if you don't know you're racist, because the systems are racist and you are shaped by the systems. Racism is not an aberration. You can't point to that guy over there and say, ah, that guy's a racist because he says racist stuff. No, that's not how racism is defined. Racism is just the water in which we swim. Racism is the air that we breathe, everything that surrounds us, the miasmatic substances that surround us and in which we live our lives. Those are where racism lives. Racism is ordinary the way that breathing air is ordinary and drinking water is ordinary. Right? It's normal science. Second, most would agree that our system of white over color ascendancy serves important purposes, both psychic and material. The first feature, ordinariness, means that racism is difficult to cure or address. Okay, this is one of the key tenets of critical race theory. It's very, very difficult to fight racism. Very difficult. Now, the reason they say this is not because they actually want to fight racism. The reason they say this is because they're entire proposition is that you cannot fight racism at an individual level. If you call out a racist incident, you have not helped fight racism. The only way to fight racism is to search within your own heart. And even then, it's really not within your own heart. because you may have nothing but good intentions. You really have to search inside your own adherence to your environment, right? You have to search inside your own adherence to American systems. Everything must be leveled. Everything must be torn out by the roots. That's how you fight racism. And this is central to their theory. It means that racism is difficult to cure or address. Colorblind or formal conceptions of equality, expressed in rules that insist only on treatment that is the same across the board, can thus remedy only the most blatant forms of discrimination, such as mortgage redlining or the refusal to hire a black PhD, rather than a white high school dropout, that do stand out and attract our attention. And so here is where we immediately start sliding into, if there is no equal outcome, then some sort of deep inequity has been done. Right? They're saying that if you fight racism by pointing out that a black PhD should get the math job over the white high school dropout, that's not actually fighting racism. It doesn't do any good, because racism is hard to fight, and that would be easy. And it's one of the games that the CRT advocates like to play, is refusal to define terms. They like to be deliberately vague. The vaguer they are, the more they can claim that you are failing to achieve their purposes. See, when you give people the idea that they get to go ghost hunting, that basically the way you fight racism is not to fight actual on-the-ground racism, it's to actually ghost hunt, then no matter what they do, you can say they've not achieved it. No matter what racism they have fought, no matter what racism they oppose, you can say, well, it doesn't matter. Because, you see, it's very difficult to fight racism, and you haven't internalized that battle yet. Okay, this is why critical race theory, in essence, is just a cult. You are supposed to follow whatever the cult leaders tell you. And if you don't follow what the cult leaders tell you, they will tell you that you have not been sufficiently loyal to the cause of anti-racism. We're going to get to more of this in just 1 second. First, I wanted to let you know, if you really enjoy The Ben Shapiro Show and The Daily Wire, we have a bunch of other shows over at DailyWire.com. Let Michael Knowles tell you about his show.
Hey, Michael Knowles here. As you might expect, I am the host of The Michael Knowles Show. Conservative pessimists say the world can't get any worse. Conservative optimists say it certainly can. Luckily, there is hope and a whole lot of fun to be had at the left's expense. Come check out The Michael Knowles Show at The Daily Wire. You can listen to the show for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, YouTube, or Facebook. It is all over the place. You can watch the full show ad-free on DailyWire.com. And don't miss exclusive videos we make on my YouTube channel, such as my woke commercial reviews and the Chaz Funniest Home videos. We break down everything from Drag Queen Story Hour to the Paris Climate Agreement. So come on over and check out The Michael Knowles Show wherever you get your podcasts. Every Monday through Friday. See you there.
You know, I pretend that I really hate Michael, but it really, it's not hatred. It's more just a strong and intense dislike. You heard it here first, gang. Make sure to check out The Michael Knowles Show. Coming up, more of this special episode of The Ben Shapiro Show.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
All of us at Crown Motors want to take this opportunity to thank our veterans, active duty, and first responders for their service to our country and community. We also wish to express our appreciation to the families of these heroes who also have sacrificed to keep our nation and our community safe. Have a wonderful holiday season, and remember that everything you do is so appreciated by your neighbors, community, and the people at Crown Motors of Reading.
Hi, I'm Janet McCarn, one of the owners of Orchard Nutrition Center. We are proud to be joining KCNR in sending holiday greetings and wishes to all our veterans and those currently serving our country, and to their families waiting at home. It is a huge sacrifice they make for our country, and Orchard Nutrition Center is proud to honor our veterans every day with a 10% in-store discount. Sending warm wishes from the Orchard Nutrition Center family to all our veterans today and all year long. Thank you for your service.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner.
I have a show here on KCNR, Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane that I can't learn how to fly. What do I gotta do to get through to you to show you there ain't nothing I can't take a chainsaw to?
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
Everybody, listen up!
FM America.
Welcome back. You're listening to a special episode of The Ben Shapiro Show. So, folks in the media will tell you that you do not understand what critical race theory is. So, that's why we're explaining it to you today. Richard Delgado and Gene Stefanchik continue in critical race theory and introduction. So, we've already established a few key principles here. Okay, one, racism is ordinary, not aberrational. Two, white over color ascendancy serves important purposes. Okay, what they say here is that this second principle, white over color ascendancy serves important purposes, this actually is deeply tied into policy. They say this second feature, sometimes called interest convergence or material determinism, as a further dimension, because racism advances the interests of both white elites materially and working class people psychically, large segments of society have little incentive to eradicate it. Okay, so the idea here is that racism, again, is all around you and it serves you. You may think that you're against racism. You're not. You're happy about racism because if you're an elite, it serves you materially. The system serves you as an elite. The system serves you. The system is racist. Therefore, you are racist in upholding the system. If you are a poor white person, you are still privileged by the system because you psychically get to look at all these people of color and say those people of color are less than I am. And therefore, I have more common cause with the white elite than I do with the people who are of my own class. And you may notice the Marxist tinge here, right? Because now we're talking about class differentiation and why really people should have class solidarity rather than racial solidarity. And you can see that the Marxist dimension has started to slip in here because, as we'll explain in just a second, critical race theory isn't a neo-Marxist movement. It is an offshoot of critical theory, which is in and of itself a Marxist movement. Okay. So what are the effects of this? Okay, so Derrick Bell, who's, again, a major critical race theorist, we'll get some more on him in a second. He had a shocking proposal that Brown versus Board of Education, for example, right? That is one of the great anti-racist moments in American history, or of an actual Supreme Court decision, saying that under the Constitution of the United States, it is illegal for blacks and whites to be forced into separate schools. Derrick Bell says that this just promulgated more racism. He says that the Brown versus Board of Education, considered a great triumph of civil rights litigation, may have resulted more from the self-interest of elite whites than a desire to help blacks. Okay, so these are the first two themes, and these are the ones that everybody kind of agrees on. One is that racism is ordinary, not aberrational, and the second is that that ordinariness serves important psychic and material purposes for white people, right? Your whiteness makes you enjoy the racism of the system. Okay, then we get to two principles of CRT that are sort of in conflict with one another, and when I say sort of, I mean almost directly in opposition to one another. According to Delgado and Stefanchik, a third theme of critical race theory, the social construction thesis, holds that race and races are products of social thought and relations, not objective, inherent, or fixed. They correspond to no biological or genetic reality. Rather, races are categories that society invents, manipulates, or retires when convenient. Okay, so then you might say, okay, well, that sounds more like, you know, the Martin Luther King thing. Okay, so if race is a social construction, then we really should attempt to see beyond race. We should see individuals as individuals. Okay, but no, this is not what critical race theorists argue. Instead, they argue the systems of power are racist, and they have made up race as a social construct in order to damn other people. But the way that you get beyond that is not by seeing beyond race. The way that you get beyond that is by embracing race. Okay, which brings us to the fourth thesis, which is in direct conflict with the third thesis. The fourth thesis is the notion of a unique voice of color. Coexisting in somewhat uneasy tension with anti-essentialism, the voice of color thesis holds that because of their different histories and experiences with oppression, black, Indian, Asian, and Latino writers and thinkers may be able to communicate to their white counterparts matters that the whites are unlikely to know. Minority status, in other words, brings with it a presumed competence to speak about race and racism. The legal storytelling movement urges black and brown writers to recount their experiences with racism and the legal system and to apply their own unique perspectives to assess law's master narratives. And this is where you get into the superiority of the perspective of people of color. Right? White people can't talk about this stuff. They're presumed incompetent to talk about this stuff. Now, you may say, wait a second, I thought that race was a social construct. But no. Because, in essence, this fourth thesis is more important than the third thesis. There's racial essentialism. If you are white, you suffer from whiteness. If you're a person of color, you have a presumed superiority to speak about racism, and we must listen to your perspectives on the system. Now, all of this is the outgrowth of critical theory. Critical theory is a branch of thought that began in the early 20th century with something called the Frankfurt School. The Frankfurt School posited, basically, that systems of power and hierarchy throughout the world were, in fact, covers for discrimination and cruelty. And thus, we had to be super critical about all of those systems of power. It was a Marxist theory that basically said that everything bad in Nazi Germany was a product of capitalism. Everything in America, the Frankfurt theorists actually openly said that America in the 1950s was proto-fascist, that it was going to lead to Nazi Germany, which is, of course, insane. They were Marxists, so of course they believed that. And critical theory is a sort of neo-Marxist movement in which power defines everything, right? Which, as you can see, bled the only difference between sort of critical theory and critical race theory, you can see the similarity in the names, is the word race. Right? Instead of saying that all of the systems of power are created in order to help the upper class, which is sort of what critical theory posits, critical race theory posits that all of the systems of power were created in order to help people of specific races. Okay, which is why there is pretty heavy crossover. So Derek Bell, who I mentioned earlier, again, one of the founders of critical race theory, and a man who Barack Obama famously hugged in the 1980s as he was trying to preserve his tenure at Harvard Law School, despite having done very little academic work. Derek Bell wrote, "The whole liberal worldview of private rights and public sovereignty, mediated by the rule of law, needed to be exploded. A worldview premised upon the public and private spheres is an attractive mirage that masks the reality of economic and political power." Right, so what is the end goal of critical race theory, according to people like Derek Bell? Explode the system. The end goal is to teach everybody that they are the products of a corrupt system. The only way to extirpate and expurgate your own whiteness is to involve yourself in this great task of exploding the system. Ideas of private and public rights. The idea of liberal worldviews in which you have the right to freedom of speech or the right to own your own property. All of these things lead to discrimination, and not only lead to them, spring from a desire to uphold discrimination. This is the fundamental political theory of critical race theory. Okay, so all of this is the lead up to how the media present this stuff. Okay, so the way that the media present this stuff is as a way to fight racism. So they discovered that using the term critical race theory is actually not particularly helpful because people look at it and they go, wait, this sounds like super stupid and racist. This sounds like you want to tear down the most successful systems that have ever been created for creating the possibility of prosperity, wealth, equality. Right? You want to get rid of those. It sounds like you want to explode those. Why would we possibly listen to you? So instead, they came up with this new rubric, and the new rubric is, this is anti-racism. So what they do is they take critical race theory's idea of race, which is that it is implicit in everything, and then they say, in order to be anti-racist, you have to tear down the systems. So they've shifted the definition of racism from stuff that we all understood to be racism, namely a belief in the superiority or inferiority of an individual based on their racial characteristics. They took that, they trashed it, and they said, no, that's not what real racism is. Real racism is believing in the system. So anti-racism would be destroying the system. So under that rubric of quote-unquote anti-racism, they've started to infiltrate all of the major institutions. The word racism is such a powerful word in American public life because of the true and vicious history of racism in the United States that if you can hijack that word, and if you can morph that word into a code word for the system and tearing down the system, if you can do all of that, you've achieved unbelievable things on behalf of the left that wishes to destroy all of those systems in the name of some sort of greater equity. And this is exactly what the Washington Post proposes to do. Now, to normal people who watch this stuff, it looks like gobbledygook. You watch this and you're like, I don't understand what in the F you're talking about. And when we watch this Washington Post video together, which again is about 5 minutes long, when we watch that together and listen to it, you'll see it makes no sense. Nobody bothers to define their terms. These folks sound as though they are cult members trying to explain the cult to other people. It sounds weird and bizarre. It sounds vague and unpractical, but that is the whole purpose. The whole purpose is, in order for you to be a member of the elect, a member of the political and intellectual elite, you have to buy into a system. It is all about social virtue signaling. You wonder what people are learning in colleges these days? They're not learning about American history, for sure. Instead, what they are learning is how to speak this language, because this is the key into the elite in modern American society. It's the key to institutional power in American society, because the woke run the place now. Coming up, more of this special episode of The Ben Shapiro Show.
Premier, your friendly oil change.
Many accidents are caused by worn wiper blades. Let's face it, it's just uncomfortable when you're driving in the rain, snow, fog, and everything else in between with worn blades. At Premier Oil Change, when you buy one wiper blade, you get the second blade free. Yes, now through January 15th, you buy one wiper blade and get the second one free for as little as $15.99. At Premier Oil Change, we make maintaining your car easy. There's no need for an appointment. You don't drop your car off or wait. Just pull in, enjoy a free beverage, and free Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park and our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable Pizza. All locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Home of the friendly oil change.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance is now open at 3673 Eureka Way. Physical therapists Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang have a combined 29 years of experience in helping those who've suffered orthopedic injuries, strains, and sprains. Kevin has worked with the USA Gymnastics team, NFL Combine, and professional BMX riders. He's also helped members of Cirque du Soleil get back into action. Rachel works closely with seniors and is also a group fitness instructor and adept at returning people to an active lifestyle. Both Kevin and Rachel at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance are accepting new clients. Give them a call today, 530-533-5030. If you are in need of physical therapy, talk to the experts at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way. Call 530-533-5030. That's 530-533-5030 today.
Turn your someday into today. The Shasta College spring semester begins January 19th, and now's the time to register for classes. First-time, full-time students, get your first 2 years tuition-free. At Shasta College, we'll teach you the skills, give you the knowledge, and provide the training you need to unlock your potential. Reskill, upskill, or get transfer ready at Shasta College. Go to www.shastacollege.edu/apply.
Hi, this is Whitney from Timberline Heating and Air Conditioning. On behalf of the whole Timberline team, we wanted to take this opportunity during this special time of year as we gather to spend time with our family and friends. It is also a time to remember all of our veterans and those currently serving our country. So we join with KCNR for Operation Holiday Salute, sending peace, hope, and happiness this holiday season to all our veterans and service members from the Timberline Heating and Air family. Happy Holidays.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. to 212121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to a special episode of The Ben Shapiro Show. So the Washington Post has decided to push critical race theory. They now have a 5-minute video about how you identify your own whiteness. And it's all about understanding your whiteness. And truly, this is racist crap because, as you may have noticed, the notion of racial essentialism, that your racial characteristics define you and define your perspective, is racism. The notion that we ought to treat you as superior or inferior in your outlook on the world based on your race is, in fact, the classical definition of racism. But it's now anti-racism because it's directed against destroying the quote-unquote racist systems. Okay, so this comes out as a weird bunch of gobbledygook nonsense. I'm going to try and translate it for you here. Here's the Washington Post lead story yesterday, again, from Washington Post, The Lily.
Racism, racialization, white body supremacy is not episodic, it's structural. Remember that there were thousands of George Floyd before the one that you saw. Your bodily response to this horror, right, is not the same thing as you dealing with the structural aspects of this.
George Floyd's death became a deeply personal and racial tragedy for many Americans. For the first time, white people were becoming aware of their whiteness and the systemic ways that white supremacy affects all of us.
White people in particular get aroused, get upset, say, this is unjust, this isn't right, this shouldn't happen. There's like an awakening that happens. And so part of their racial identity development is seeing that awakening. What they do with it is really the next piece of it.
In this episode, we're tackling white racial identity and why understanding your whiteness is integral to becoming self-aware as a white person. I'm Nicole Ellis, and this is the
New York. Can you pause it there for a second? Alrighty, so understanding your white identity. Now, you may have thought to yourself, I don't really have a white identity. Like, for me, I'd be considered white by these folks. I'm Jewish. My identity is many different things. But kind of in terms of ethnicity, it's more Jewish because that actually connects to how I act in the real world. And honestly, I don't care about ethnicity. So my Jewish ethnic identity is really only tied into the fact that as the son of a Jewish mother, I am religiously Jewish, right, by that law. But my ethnicity really has nothing to do with it. And the idea of a general white identity is also very weird. Because the only aspect of quote-unquote white identity is generally in American history in opposition to quote-unquote black identity or Asian identity or Mexican identity. But the reality is that for the vast majority of history, and including American history, people didn't see themselves in terms of white identity. Okay, they saw themselves in terms of sort of where they came from. There was Irish identity, there was Italian identity, there was Czech identity, there was Jewish identity, there was Russian identity. And if you go to Europe today, trying to say to an Italian, you have white identity, they'd be like, what? I'm Italian. What are you talking about? Like Brits and Italians, they have different cultural heritages because culture is not the same as ethnicity. The attempt to cudgel everybody who is not a person of color into the white identitarian category is an awkward one and is, in fact, a social construction. But for these folks, like Nicole Ellis of the Washington Post, it is important that you understand your white identity. What they mean is they are going to cudgel you into an identity where you are responsible for all the evils of the world. You are responsible for the George Floyd situation. Hey, first of all, when Rezma Menachem, at the very beginning, an author, when he says at the beginning, there are thousands of George Floyds you never saw. Well, I mean, under what time context are we talking? Are we talking like the last several hundred years? Because then that's true. Are you talking about like the last several years? The answer, of course, is no. The number of black unarmed men killed in the United States by cops is under 20 every single year. So no, it's not thousands of people who are being treated the way that George Floyd was treated. Okay, but again, the idea is that pointing out that incident, which again was not even, like, there's still no evidence. It's amazing how this has been promulgated. There's still no evidence that was a racist incident. It was not alleged in court. It was not alleged by the federal government. It's been alleged by no one. And yet that has become the racial incident in America, despite the fact that there's no racial animus sought. Why? Because it's structural. You've heard that word, structural. Okay, the idea, again, is that in reality, Derek Chauvin isn't really, according to CRT, even to blame for Derek Chauvin's activity. Derek Chauvin is just an agent of the structure, and the structure is to blame. And you are both to blame for upholding the structure, and you are a symptom of that structure because you were created by that structure. Okay, let's continue with this Washington Post video. It says, why is white racial identity important?
I am originally from a smaller town in Oklahoma. Whiteness was the default and whiteness was the comfort.
Part of the structure of racism and the way that it's maintained is to keep us from recognizing that racism is a part of our daily lives. And so it's a longer term process of looking at your understanding of yourself in the world, both historically, but also contextually, the family you live in, the community you live in, and what role whiteness plays in that.
So here you have a woman named Kelsey Arias originally saying that whiteness was her default and her comfort. I don't know what that's supposed to mean, other than this is her confessing her sins in Maoist style. Right? She didn't know she was racist, but it was her default and her comfort. She didn't even know. She didn't even know what kind of sin she was committing, but she was, by dint of just where she lived. And then you have Rebecca Toporak, who is one of these authors who was speaking before, saying that, you know, finding your whiteness and discovering your own sin is a lifelong process. Now, that sounds very much, again, like cultic language. It sounds like a cult. It sounds like you have to spend your entire life cleansing yourself of whatever the master says is your sin. You have to spend your entire, it's a lifelong process of discovering your own whiteness and looking within. Or, and what exactly are you hunting for? The answer is, you're hunting for whatever I tell you to hunt for. You're hunting for your own unconscious racial bias that has infused the core of your very being. And if you can't uncover it, it's because you're racist, obviously. Right? This is the perfect Kafka trap. If you say, well, I looked inside myself and I really don't think I'm a racist, they say, it's because you are so infused with your own racism, you can't even recognize your own racism. Pretty incredible stuff. This nonsense continues.
The more you kind of dive into that, the more I'm really realizing how deeply rooted racism is into, like, my everyday thought process. No matter how much you work at that, there's still even almost more work to be done.
A living, embodied, anti-racist culture does not exist among white people. White people got to start getting together specifically around race.
White accountability groups are really helpful in terms of having a place to process, having a group of people whose responsibility it is to call me on things or to challenge me.
We're unpacking wrong things that we've been taught in history class. I realized that I needed to go back and unpack and reorganized everything that I had learned because it was completely
okay. Stop for a second. Okay, so Washington Post recognizes and they suggest you should create an accountability group. This is direct Maoist crap. Okay, like direct Maoist crap. So over the weekend, I was reading a book about the current what they call third revolution in China, the Xi Jinping revolution, and what they've done at many of their companies is they have these sort of political groups where you're supposed to get together, and this has been true for decades, really since the inception of Maoism, but now it's sort of moved into the corporate sphere over there. You're supposed to have these accountability groups where you get together and you confess your sins against Marxism. Right? They would actually have Maoist struggle sessions during the time of Mao where you would do this. You'd get up and you'd confess your sins, and you were forced to do this. And this has been true in every communist country. Right? Pol Pot used to have these things where you'd get up and you'd confess your sins against Marxism, and then you would be punished for it, and then you would sit back down. So they're now suggesting that in exactly the same fashion, we have quote-unquote accountability groups. You have white people get together and call each other out on their racism and then presumably forgive each other. And the more you confess, the more praiseworthy you are. The more you say, this is why you see Rebecca Toporak in this video saying things like, well, you know, you almost never finish the work. It's almost impossible to finish the work. You can never get to the end of the work. Or Kelsey Arias saying, I've never even discovered the depth of my own racism. I was never able to come up with the depth of my own racism. Or Elise Kennedy saying, I have to go back. This is where it starts to get institutional. We have to go back and we have to see the way we teach history. And we have to reteach ourselves history this way. And here you start to see the creep over from these sort of personal browbeating and the self-scourging, the 12th century style self-scourging and Maoist style struggle sessions to now we have to teach how we teach it. We have to change how we teach this stuff in schools to children. Okay, let's continue.
Completely through a white lens. Most of us in doing this work have experienced this where there's a period of deep shame for being white and for acknowledging the harm that our ancestors have caused. And that's a very legitimate piece of this work. And we can't ask people of color to hold our hands through the shame piece. That needs to happen with other white people.
When you do that for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, right, you end up with actually a community that is aligned with each other.
in theory, that sounds like a good idea, but I guess I'm curious to hear, like, what are some of the pitfalls or risks that you run if that's the only step you take?
The biggest answer is white people don't really understand racism. And so if I'm relying on other white people to teach me about racism, that can only go so far. I only best understand racism by talking to people who are directly impacted by racism from different perspectives. So in addition to having white accountability groups and white accountability buddies, it's also really important to have sustained and meaningful relationships with people of color.
Okay, so this is Rebecca Toporek and all the rest of these people suggesting they can't even understand racism, right? It's so deeply rooted in them, they feel shame. They feel shame at their own whiteness. So first of all, if you feel shame because of your race, this is racist. You should not feel shame under any circumstances because of a condition that you were born into. That's insane. Okay, that's the definition of racism, truly. If you feel ashamed because you were born black, we would say, oh my God, that's terrible. Why would you feel ashamed for being born black? But now, the idea is there's something good about feeling ashamed for being a white person. Why? Did you do something wrong? Normally, shame attaches when you do something wrong. But the idea is that by the very color of your skin, you are complicit in this racist system because the system benefits you even unconsciously. And so you can't even fight racism, right? This goes back to the critical race theory principles that we were talking about, right? The critical race theory principles, one of them, is that white people can't even properly understand race. Only black people, and only Hispanic people, and only Asian people. And even there is a hierarchy there. Only people who are not white can properly understand racism. So now the Washington Post says you need to find a black friend. Now, recognize that you are also, in the same video, they're saying that if you ask a black person to guide you on racism, this is in and of itself racist because you are assuming that that person has either the wherewithal or the desire to tell you about racism. It's using that black person as sort of a token to lead you. But you have to find black friends because those black friends are the only ones who are capable of awakening you to your own racism and to your own complicity in the system. This is all cultic nonsense. It's all cultic behavior. It's infused everything. Continue.
You don't have the ability to, like, inherently name things as upholding white supremacy or as being racist. My whiteness is going to show up at different points in my life and at different points in different relationships.
But is it fair or healthy to be seeking out relationships with people just to have a diverse network? Because I feel like for people of color, you're kind of constantly trying to gauge whether or not it's worth it to be vulnerable or share how someone hurt you when your white colleagues or co-workers or friends mess up.
There's a different cost for my friends of color to be in relationship with me. So I think one of the things that's really important is ongoing being a friend on an ongoing basis for lots of different things, not just like thinking about racism as a part of our friendship when there's something horrible that happens. Those relationships are, number one, for me to be there for them as them for me. It's a relationship, and so it should be reciprocal, but also so that I have a broader understanding of the world.
Everything I thought about how I existed in my white body in the world was very wrong. And I needed this new lens to see the world through. So I think that's been a big piece of my own work.
Incredible. And Nicole Ellis is sitting there, but so black people shouldn't be friends with you because then they're going to be used as tokens. And like, well, they won't be used as tokens. I mean, we'll still be friends, but we'll kind of use them as tokens. But we're helping to reexamine our own prejudices. And Nicole Ellis is sitting there like the judge on high, trying to judge all these white people, right? I mean, that she's there to provide them the absolution. Okay, this is racist nonsense. It's being taught to your kids in school. It's being pushed by the Washington Post on their front page. And the Washington Post, now the left is angry that you caught them. Okay, because here's the reality. There's pushback, and the pushback is incredibly serious. We're seeing a bevy of states push actions to ban the teaching of critical race theory in schools, which is good. Okay, critical race theory, schools have to decide what they teach to kids. They don't teach kids that 2 + 2 = 5 because that's a waste of time, stupid, counterproductive, and illogical. You shouldn't be teaching kids about racial essentialism. You shouldn't be teaching kids that all the systems of power in the United States are racist. You shouldn't be teaching kids that by dint of their very skin color, they ought to feel shame. You shouldn't teach kids false notions of American history because that's a garbage thing to do. And you're starting to see blowback on this. And the left, which has embraced all of this, right? The left loves this stuff. Right? Joe Biden's administration agrees with this Washington Post video. I dare you to find a single member of the Washington, of the Biden administration who would dare to say that this video is the pretentious, crappy, self-defeating nonsense that it is. You wouldn't find one person in the entire administration who would say that. Not one. So the blowback is coming, and the blowback is very, very real. And the left is very upset about it. It is not a coincidence that the same day that the Washington Post ran this particular video, the Washington Post also ran a very long piece being very angry that anybody, including Christopher Rufo, who's one of the people leading the charge, has been fighting back against critical race theory. And this is precisely the point. The left has been renormalizing America by pushing radical ideas slowly into the mainstream, by being intransigent and very, very loud inside specific institutions. And they push a little bit, and then they push a lot, but they continue to push, and they are very intransigent, and they hope that by bullying you into silence and making you feel shame for your own race, and making you feel shame for your own systems, and making you feel shame for America, and they can shut you up and then take over the institutions. And what's happening right now is that vast middle is saying no. All it takes to, quote-unquote, renormalize an already renormalized institutions is a bunch of people in the middle saying, absolutely not, we're not doing this. And this is why the left is getting pissed, because a bunch of people who are heretofore silent, a bunch of people who are very quiet up to this point, they're now standing up and they're taking back their school boards. They're standing up and they're retaking their legislatures. They're standing up and they're retaking congressional seats, and they're saying no. And the left can't handle it, because for a long time, 20% of the country has run the other 80% of the country. And now there's a vast swath in the middle who are saying, no, we're not going to do this stuff. Which is phenomenal. And the first step on that is awareness of the fact that this 20% of people, these radicals who have created this coalition in order to push this nonsense, have started to take over the institutions, and in many cases have already have done that. You can renormalize as long as you have a core percentage on the other side of 20% and the 60% in the middle, the unaligned side, with the 20% pushback rather than the 20% radicals who are pushing this stuff in the first place. That's how renormalization happens, and it's already happening, and it's great to watch, and the left is scared out of their wits. We're going to get to more of this in just one second. First, if you really enjoy The Ben Shapiro Show and The Daily Wire, we have a bunch of other shows over at dailywire.com. Let Matt Walsh tell you about his show.
Hey, this is Matt Walsh, host of The Matt Walsh Show. Most of us, you know, don't wake up in the morning thinking about what the bureaucrats in D.C. are up to. At least I don't. Our concerns are more immediate than that, which is why I focus on social issues, culture, family, faith, even sometimes pop culture. Political issues are important, but I don't think they're the most important thing or the most entertaining thing, frankly. So if you're looking for a conservative show that goes beyond politics and brings you stories the mainstream media tries to ignore, come check out The Matt Walsh Show, Monday through Friday, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, YouTube, Facebook, anywhere you go for podcasts, I'm there. Plus, if you check it out on dailywire.com, you can watch the entire show ad-free. The Matt Walsh Show, check it out. I'll see you there.
If you're looking for cynicism, depression, and also hilarity, Matt is the place to go. Make sure you check out Matt's show. Coming up, more of this special episode of The Ben Shapiro Show.
Thirty years ago, Simpson University arrived in Redding with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Redding's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? All have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR 1460 a.m. or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA. Or go online to sfymca.org.
Sizzle.
Welcome back. You're listening to a special episode of The Ben Shapiro Show. All right, so the pushback to critical race theory has begun. Christopher Rufo is one of the lead researchers on that particular issue. He now works over at the Manhattan Institute, and he has a book out, coming out pretty soon with Harper, which, full disclosure, is also my publisher. And he's been pushing into sort of common parlance critical race theory. You know, it's been used as the term that was used before critical race theory was wokeism. Critical race theory is more specific because it actually goes to the ideological roots of all of this. Well, the root of the pushback has now created fruit, and you're seeing it all over, right? So you're seeing videos, like here's one that went viral, of a father and daughter, a black father and daughter, pushing back against critical race theory. It was an excellent video, and the reason it is so telling is because critical race theory suggests that all the systems of America are deeply racist and inherently directed at promoting the subservience of black Americans particularly, it means that you're basically saying black people, they have no agency. They have no agency in America, in the freest country in the history of the world, with the richest black families on planet Earth, on average. They have no agency whatsoever. And so here is a young black man named Corey Yeshua and his 6-year-old daughter Royalty pushing back on critical race theory and saying this is nonsense and it hurts black people, which it absolutely does. Depriving people of agency is the worst single thing you can do to anyone in life. It is the worst thing. When you tell people they have no agency in their own life, you cannot do anything worse to a child than that, truly. And when you create actions that give them no agency, obviously, that is an extension of that very idea. Anyway, here was Corey Yeshua. This went completely viral, of course.
Daddy teaches you can be anything in this world that you want to be, right? Don't Daddy teach you that?
Yeah, and it doesn't matter if you're black or white or any color.
Doesn't matter if you're black, white, brown, yellow. Right?
Black.
And how we treat people is based on who they are and not what color
nice.
They are.
And if they're nice and smart.
See? This is how children think right here. Critical race theory wants to end that. Not with my children. It's not going to happen.
Good for him, right? So this went viral. There's an Illinois dad who got up recently at a school board hearing, pushing against critical race theory. Again, black guy. And he said, this is nonsense. He said, color was not discussed in my home at all.
The only race it is the human race. I never raised my sons to see anybody as a color. Color was never even discussed in my house at all. All we know is that as children grow, they just see other kids and they'll just immediately start playing. There is no, a child see them and like, why is your skin color like that of mine? We never discussed that. When it all comes down to it, people are just people. My sons never had to talk about white people, about Asian people. All they know is that they were people. They were their friends. They played with them. They never once came home and said, Dad, my white friend across the street, that they just said my friends.
Okay, and of course, this is exactly right. The pushback is happening. Even the mainstream media, the reason that they are starting to get so worried about this and to lie about it is because they are deeply, deeply worried that the right is going to be able to mobilize on this because people in the middle, right, that unmotivated 60% in the middle are looking at the left and saying, what you're preaching right now is cultic, crazy garbage that tears away every system of freedom in the United States. Again, if you want to renormalize the institutions, if you want to make them normal again, then what you're going to have to do is stand up and say no. And people in the middle have to be made aware. They are aware now, they're waking up to it, and they are fighting back. And this scares the living hell out of the left, because this is the first institutional pushback that we have seen in America for quite some time against a systemic, motivated left. And it's great. The first thing you got to do is do what Rufo has done and others, we've done it on the show, expose critical race theory for what it is. Number two, tell people they have to form coalitions with people who are in the middle, and that those coalitions have to be mobilized against this very core, hardened group of people who are pushing a radical ideology, and the institutions can, in fact, be taken back. I talk about this in my new book, The Authoritarian Moment, at length, because it's really, really important. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Germany shutting down half of the six nuclear power plants it still has in operation, Jeremy House reports.
It comes a year before the country draws the final curtain on its decades-long use of atomic power. The three reactors now being shuttered were first powered up in the mid-1980s. Together, they provided electricity to millions of German households for almost four decades. The German government said this week that decommissioning all nuclear plants and phasing out the use of coal by 2030 won't affect the country's energy security or its goal of making Europe's biggest economy climate neutral by 2045. Jeremy House reporting.
Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts says the courts need to do more to ensure judges do not participate in cases where they have financial conflicts of interest. Also at townhall.com, airline industry trying to delay next week's scheduled rollout of 5G wireless service near dozens of major airports.
A trade group called Airlines for America says the service could interfere with critical systems on planes, and it wants the issue to be studied further before the technology is put into effect. The airlines say pilots won't be able to use radio altimeters, which are devices that measure the height of planes above the ground, so they won't be able to land at dozens of airports. The group says the new service will affect airports in the New York City area, Chicago, Boston, Dallas, Fort Worth, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Bob Agnew reporting.
Flight cancellations surging again on the final day of 2021. Airlines blaming the crew shortages related to the pandemic. By late Friday, there had been some 1,550 flights canceled for the day, and already airlines have scrapped at least 1,500 flights for Saturday. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Cancer. So many lives are touched by cancer. In fact, one in two men and one in three women will be diagnosed with cancer. At the American Cancer Society, we're on a mission to free the world from cancer. It's a big mission, driven by little things like a ride to treatment, a free place to stay, a 24/7 helpline. But these little things are really the big things, because to a cancer patient and their family, they're everything. And every day we reach thousands of cancer patients who so desperately need these services. But we need your help to get these critical services to more people and families in need this holiday season. Go to cancer.org and join the fight against cancer. It takes just minutes to donate and help provide essential support to cancer patients and their families. Don't wait. More than one in three people will be diagnosed with cancer. Go to cancer.org right now and make a difference. Go to cancer.org.
The Pentagon streamlined the approval process for urgent use of National Guard forces in the District of Columbia.
Thursday's announcement comes after months of study in the wake of the January 6th riot at the Capitol. The changes give the Defense Secretary sole authority to approve requests that would involve D.C. National Guard personnel participating in civil law enforcement or would require their deployment within 48 hours. After the riot, the Pentagon came under criticism by some for a slow response to requests for Guard assistance. But an inspector general review concluded senior defense officials had acted appropriately before and during the riot. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
The college football playoff national championship will be an all-SEC affair. Alabama defeating Cincinnati 27-6. Georgia over Michigan 34-11. Crimson Tide and the Bulldogs face off January 10th in Indianapolis. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. New laws taking effect in Maryland with the new year, John Scott reports.
The Washington Post reports that low-income individuals who are pregnant can receive health care under Medicaid for up to 1 year after giving birth. The current law only allows the coverage for a 60-day period. Another law will require hospitals to begin relaxing debt collection practices for patients who have lower incomes. Hospitals can no longer charge interest or additional fees on an incurred debt. The hospitals also can't sue patients over unpaid bills until at least 180 days after the initial charge. John Scott reported.
For nearly 70 years, she was a television icon. Legendary entertainer Betty White, dead at the age of 99, And Betty White just missed the century mark. She would have reached 100 on January 17th. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already, we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Hey, welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. This show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Don't like big tech and the government spying on you? Visit expressvpn.com/Ben. 2021 was a wild year. We were with you the whole way. Today, I wanted to revisit some of the craziest news so we could look back on this year and look forward to 2022. Enjoy this episode from earlier this year. We begin with a simple fact. For the left, for the media, for the Democratic Party, the only thing that matters is that the cops are bad. Doesn't matter if the cops are trying to save black people, the cops are bad. And every incident of police violence in America that involves a white police officer and a black suspect, any incident that goes wrong, or even in which the police do their duty, all of those incidents are just emblematic of systemic police racism. This is a point that I made with regard to the Derek Chauvin trial. Whatever you think about Chauvin, whether you think that he was guilty of second and third degree murder and manslaughter, which is sort of odd since second and third degree murder have different elements, but even if you believe that he was guilty of all of the elements of all of those murders and all of those charges, even if you believe all of that, there was one charge that Derek Chauvin was convicted of and the entire system was convicted of, and that was systemic American racism. And the argument was entirely circular. Derek Chauvin, there was no evidence shown that he killed George Floyd because George Floyd was black. None. Not an iota, not a scintilla. The prosecution never even made that argument. And yet, Derek Chauvin was used as the perfect example, case 1A, exhibit 1A, in the American police are systemically racist argument. And the idea was that because of people like Derek Chauvin, the American police are systemically racist. Also, we have no evidence that Derek Chauvin was actually a racist. So what that means is that American police being systemically racist, that's why he did this. It's perfectly circular. Derek Chauvin is systemically racist because the system is systemically racist, which is systemically racist because Derek Chauvin is systemically racist. At no point do you actually have to show racism anywhere in here. And that's why the Derek Chauvin story was a national story, of course, because otherwise it's just a local crime story. Otherwise, it's just a story of a cop acting in a brutal way. And that's not a national news story. But the idea from the entire media, from the White House, where the president and co-president spoke the other day, the entire story from the left in this country is that every police department is built along the lines of Derek Chauvin. Systemic racism isn't just part of our policing, it's part of our entire way of life. And this is how you have CBS News featuring the racial grifter Ibram X. Kendi talking about how the Derek Chauvin trial is just indicative of how deeply racist America is. And he says that it's not just Derek Chauvin who was on trial, it was all of America that was on trial. Now, you know what? I can guarantee you that the vast majority of police officers in America are not engaging in the sort of activity in which Derek Chauvin was allegedly engaging. Okay, but everyone is guilty, and that's the entire argument. The entire argument is that all of America is guilty. Now, the fact that Ibram X. Kendi is being featured on national news is in and of itself insane, considering that Ibram X. Kendi is an actual tyrant. He has suggested that there be a federal Department of Anti-Racism, an unelected body of people who are capable of striking down any law or regulation, federal, state, or local, that ends with inequality of outcome, which is just fascism. Okay, but Ibram X. Kendi is considered an expert on race for the great reason that he parrots in worse writing the ideas of Derek Bell and Richard Delgado about critical race theory, and now he is considered a great thought leader. Jack Dorsey donated $10 million to his Center for Anti-Racism, which to date has produced no serious research. So here's Ibram X. Kendi being featured on CBS News and explaining why the Derek Chauvin trial is really about systemic police racism and truly about systemic American racism more broadly.
Chauvin is headed to jail, but is America headed to justice? Is justice convicting a police officer, or is justice convicting America? When tens of millions of Americans after Floyd's murder last year took to the streets of nearly every American town, we were convicting America. Justice is opening the door to an anti-racist future where American fear is endangered, where I no longer live in fear, where Americans no longer live in fear of me. Justice has convicted America.
Justice has convicted America, and that's what the entire left wants, and that is why CBS News is featuring Ibram X. Kendi saying this. CBS News, super objective stuff there from CBS News. Pretty incredible. By the way, nobody's afraid of Ibram X. Kendi as a human. I'm afraid of his ideas, because his ideas are tyrannical and frightening and horrifying. His ideas are truly terrible. They are garbage, racist ideas. Ibram X. Kendi is a person who has said that discrimination of the past can only be remedied by discrimination today. He is, in fact, a racist. And then he uses that under the guise of quote-unquote anti-racism in order to push forward these bizarre ideas of equity that involve serious discrimination on the basis of race. Of course, the Biden administration has embraced this wholesale. We know that the Biden administration is attempting to teach Ibram X. Kendi-type anti-racist crap in the public schools now. According to National Review, President Biden's Department of Education has signaled its intent to impose the most radical forms of critical race theory on America's schools, very much including the 1619 Project and the so-called anti-racism of Ibram X. Kendi. Biden is obviously co-opting conservatives' interest in reviving traditional U.S. history and civics to deliver its perfect opposite. This is according to Stanley Kurtz, writing for National Review. Biden's Department of Education has just released the text of a proposed new rule establishing priorities for grants in American history and civics education programs. That rule gives priority to grant projects that incorporate racially, ethnically, culturally, and linguistically diverse perspectives. The rule goes on to cite and praise the 1619 Project, as well as Kendi, as leading examples of the sorts of ideas the Biden administration wants to spread. Now, there are predictable effects of the critical race theory ideas that are now being fostered in America's public schools, that are being pushed by the media, in making heroes of people and prophets of people like Ibram X. Kendi. And the predictable result is a worse way of life for hundreds of millions of Americans. It is fostering lies about the nature of what America is. It is fostering lies about the nature of America's police. In a second, we're going to go through some of the details about policing in the United States and the argument that America's police are systemically racist. We'll get to that in just one second. First, I wanted to let you know, if you really enjoy the Ben Shapiro Show and the Daily Wire, we have a bunch of other shows over at DailyWire.com. Let Michael Knowles tell you about his show.
Hey, Michael Knowles here. As you might expect, I am the host of the Michael Knowles Show. Conservative pessimists say the world can't get any worse. Conservative optimists say it certainly can. Luckily, there is hope and a whole lot of fun to be had at the left's expense. Come check out the Michael Knowles Show at the Daily Wire. You can listen to the show for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, YouTube, or Facebook. It is all over the place. You can watch the full show ad-free on DailyWire.com. And don't miss exclusive videos we make on my YouTube channel, such as my woke commercial reviews and the Chaz Funniest Home Videos. We break down everything from Drag Queen Story Hour to the Paris Climate Agreement. So come on over and check out the Michael Knowles Show wherever you get your podcasts. Every Monday through Friday. See you there.
You know, I pretend that I really hate Michael, but really, it's not hatred. It's more just a strong and intense dislike. You heard it here first, gang. Make sure to check out the Michael Knowles Show. Okay, so let's go through some of the facts about policing in the United States of America. There are literally tens and tens and tens of millions of encounters between the police and civilians every year in the United States. And there has yet to be solid evidence that the police are seeking out black men to harm black men. There is just a report that came out from the Department of Justice Bureau of Justice Statistics in 2020. It found, quote, there is no statistically significant difference by race between how likely people were to commit serious violent crimes and how likely they were to be arrested. In other words, the data suggested that police officers and sheriff's deputies focus on criminals' actions, not their race. See, one of the things that you'll see very often in the media is they'll say, look how many more black people than white people are arrested. Well, that makes sense if more black people than white people per capita are committing crimes. To present those statistics without any underlying information about the reports that are being made about criminal activity is absolutely ridiculous. It's like saying the NBA is unbelievably racist. Look how heavily black the NBA is. And you're like, no, that's just the number of people per capita who are really good at basketball. And to say that the racial statistics with regard to crime are irrelevant to the racial statistics with regard to arrest is to be a fool. Right? You're leaving out the chief confound, which is the underlying activity. In other words, If 60% of reports of a particular crime are about black people and 60% of the arrests are of black people, that's not the fault of the cops. If 10% of the reports are about black people and 60% of the arrests are of black people, then it starts to look a lot like systemic racism, obviously. Heather McDonald reported just a couple of years ago, in 2019, police officers fatally shot 1,004 people, most of whom were armed or otherwise dangerous. African Americans were about a quarter of those killed by cops, a ratio that has remained stable since 2015. That share of black victims is less than what the black crime rate would predict, since police shootings are a function of how often officers encounter armed and violent suspects. In 2018, the latest year for which such data have been published, African Americans made up 53% of known homicide offenders in the United States and committed about 60% of robberies, though they are 13% of the population. It is true that police officers are 18.5 times more likely to be killed by a black male than an unarmed black male is to be killed by the police. In August 2019, the National Academy of Sciences published research showing there was, quote, no significant evidence of anti-black disparity in the likelihood of being fatally shot by police. And then as soon as Heather McDonald cited that stat, the National Academy of Sciences tried to pull down the actual study. There's a widely publicized study in July of 2016 from Roland Fryer of Harvard University surveying over 1,000 police shootings, finding that black suspects are shot less often than white suspects in comparable situations. A Deadly Force Lab study from Washington State University found that the participants were biased in favor of black suspects in simulated threat scenarios. In 2015, the DOJ analyzed the Philadelphia Police Department, found that white officers were actually less likely than black or Hispanic officers to shoot unarmed black suspects. So in other words, this notion that the police are run through with white supremacy is a lie. It is a lie. But because that lie is so common, because it is so crucial to the systemic racism argument, which requires no evidence of actual systemic racism, it just requires that you not understand the phrase. It requires the semantic overload. Because when people on the left say systemic racism, most people just hear racism. They just hear that racists exist. Because here's the game that the left plays. It's a perfect Mott and Bailey argument. They'll say systemic racism. You say, okay, I need evidence that the system itself is racist. You have to show me where in the regulations it is racist, or you have to show me where the policies are designed to be racist. And then the left says, no, what we mean by... Because you are saying that, that means that you don't understand racism. It means that you are, in fact, a racist, because racism does exist. Are you denying that racism exists? No, I'm not denying that racism exists. Only a fool will deny that racism exists. I am denying that the police pursue procedures that are designed to harm black people more than they are designed to harm white people or Mexican people or people of any other ethnicity. In any case, all of this ties together in the generalized leftist belief that the police are bad. Black Lives Matter is not about black lives. It isn't. They just don't care about certain black lives, period, end of story. The only black lives that Black Lives Matter cares about are ones that are ended by the cops, and it doesn't matter what the circumstances of the death are. This is the proof positive today. So today's big cop shooting story is a cop shooting story out of Columbus, Ohio. The headline from the Washington Post: fatal police shooting of black teenager in Columbus sparks a new outcry. Now, from that headline, you would imagine that there's a black teenager who is walking along the street, and a Columbus police officer decided just to gun down that black teenager, right? Fatal police shooting of black teenager in Columbus sparks new outcry. Here's the actual story. Body camera footage from a Columbus police officer's fatal shooting of a black teenager sparked outcry and protests from local activists, national leaders, and even the White House on Wednesday, as it became the latest in a string of deadly videos documenting the final moments of a person of color killed by law enforcement. Okay, now, as we are about to find out, that is missing, you know, the fact pattern. It's missing the actual facts, because nobody in the media gives a bleep about the facts. Nobody on the left, apparently. I'm not talking about liberals. I'm talking about the hard left, who are now driving the party boat here. No one gives a crap about black lives that are not ended by the cops. They don't care about this. They don't care. If a black person kills another black person, they do not care. In fact, it's not just that they don't care. They're okay with that, so long as it means there are fewer police officers on the streets. If there are fewer police officers on the streets and more black people get murdered, this is what they are stumping for. This is what they are actively rooting for, apparently. Because here's what actually happened in this story. Watch how far you have to go into this Washington Post piece before you actually get the fact pattern. Okay, paragraph one was all about the evils of this Columbus police officer, condemned by national leaders and local activists in the White House. Paragraph two, the death of 16-year-old Makia Bryant, who was shot by Officer Nicholas Reardon on Tuesday during an altercation. During an altercation, guys, it was just an altercation, comes as the nation is undergoing a broad reckoning over police brutality and racism. Her name joins a long and growing list of black people killed by police officers in deadly interactions that have sparked protests and broad calls for justice. Okay, that was paragraph two. We still don't know the incident. All we know, they're gradually dripping out what actually happened, right? Because when it turns out that you find out what happened, the cop wasn't just right. The cop saved a black girl. Okay, so paragraph one was, it was really bad. Cop shot a black person. White House hated it. Paragraph two was, there was an altercation. That's all we now know. And we know that this person's name has now been added to the list of tragedies in which a black person was shot by a white cop. Coming up, more of this special episode of The Ben Shapiro Show.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed. It's time to embrace American values. Our society is based on the freedom, not begging the government for permission. It's time to wake up, my brothers and sisters. Come check out my show every other Sunday, 8 to 9, Liberty Unabashed.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Operate it. Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Welcome back. You're listening to a special episode of The Ben Shapiro Show. So we're going through this Washington Post article. We've read through several paragraphs already. It's about the shooting of Makiya Bryant by a white police officer in Columbus, Ohio. We've gone through several paragraphs. It takes until about paragraph 8 for them to actually get to, you know, the facts of the case. We are fully two paragraphs into this story, and we still don't know the facts surrounding the shooting of Makiya Bryant. Paragraph 3. In a sign of how effective those protests have been in drawing attention to the issue of police violence, the details of the shooting were swiftly briefed to President Biden, whose administration has pledged to address systemic racism and overhaul policing. Okay, that was paragraph 3. You still don't know what the hell happened. Paragraph 4. The killing of 16-year-old Makiya Bryant by Columbus police is tragic, said White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki. Okay, paragraph 5. As Psaki was drawing a connection between Bryant's killing and the broader trend of disproportionate use of force against minorities by police, officials in Columbus sought to calm tensions by quickly releasing information about the incident. That's paragraph 6. I wish to hell it hadn't happened, interim police chief Michael Woods told reporters after releasing the footage and the 911 calls that led officers to respond. Woods said the officer has been with the department since December 2019, has been placed on administrative leave. Okay, that is paragraph 7. You notice that we're now like halfway through the story and you still don't know what the hell happened in this shooting. All you know is that a black girl got shot and a white police officer did the shooting. You still don't know. It takes all the way until paragraph 9 before you actually get to the facts of the shooting. Quote, the footage released Wednesday shows a chaotic scene. The officer identified as Reardon arrives during a physical altercation involving several people. Reardon, who is white, can be seen emerging from his vehicle as Bryant appears to chase someone who falls onto the sidewalk. The teen then turns towards someone else wearing a pink sweatsuit and takes a swing at her hand with what appears to be a blade briefly visible in her hand. The officer yells "gets down" multiple times before firing 4 shots at the girl, leaving her sprawled next to a car in the driveway. She had a knife, she just ran at her, one officer says on the footage. Another clip showed officer performing CPR on Bryant. This is a case where a girl was attempting to stab another girl. And this was covered in paragraph 9 of the Washington Post story. Paragraph 9. NBC News was even worse. NBC News put up the body cam footage. They took out the part with the knife, and they took out the part from the 911 call where somebody actually reported that the girl had a knife in the first place. They just cut it out. The media are rooting for the cops to go down. That is all this is. The media are openly rooting for this stuff right now. Here's the edited clip from NBC News.
Police body cam video shows Micaiah Bryant's final moments when a Columbus, Ohio police officer responding to a call gets out of his car and seconds later fatally shoots the 16-year-old girl. Officer Nicholas Reardon, who joined the force in December of 2019, was responding to a 911 call.
We need a police officer here now.
Video shows Reardon approaching a group of young people in this driveway.
It wasn't just NBC News. Right? CNN. There are growing questions, according to Wolf Blitzer, about what just happened in Columbus. Now, it seems to me that once you know what happened, there actually should be lessening questions, should there not? There should be a decrescendo of questioning, considering that we now know that the cop shot a black girl who was attempting to stab another black girl. But here's the thing. If the cop had never shown up and Micaiah Bryant had stabbed the other girl to death, nobody would have cared. Nobody would have cared. Nobody in the media. Nobody in Black Lives Matter, not LeBron James, not the White House. They wouldn't have given 2 dams about that girl's life. How do I know? How do I know? I know that because it did happen, okay, in Cincinnati, Ohio, 2 days ago. A 13-year-old girl was stabbed to death. 13-year-old black girl was stabbed to death by another 13-year-old girl. This is not a national news story because no one cares if a black person stabs another black person to death and they're both 13. Nobody cares. If the cop had shown up and shot the 13-year-old black girl who's stabbing the other girl, then it would be a national news story about systemic police racism. Here's a story that actually matters from Cincinnati, Ohio, because it turns out that the homicide statistics in black America are devastating, are crippling. The number of black Americans killed unarmed by the police every year is under 20. The number of black Americans who are killed in homicides every year is thousands upon thousands. I mean, we're talking in the year 2019 alone, about 7,500 black Americans were killed in homicides. The vast majority of those people were killed by other black people because most crime in America is intra-racial. I mean, seriously, this is this true absurdity that we are supposed to pay attention only when a cop is involved demonstrates that this is not about saving black lives, not in the slightest. It's about the reverse. It's about we don't care if more black people get killed so long as we dismantle the cops. It is just anti-cop hatred. Here is this case from Cincinnati. Ain't nobody going to pay attention to this because it was just a 13-year-old black girl whose life mattered also, but not to the media, because it wasn't ended by a cop.
I held her. I watched her as she died. I watched her and held her. All I could do was just hold her. You know, hold her.
Devastation, heartache, loss.
I tried to stop the bleeding.
Are you devastated by that? Because you should be devastated by that. It turns out that Nyara Gibbons, which is the name of the girl who was stabbed, you should say her name much more often than you say the name of the girl who was attempting to stab another girl and got shot by the police. Nyara Gibbons didn't do anything. She was just stabbed to death. But you don't care about that in the media. That's not a national, that's a local crime story. It's not a national news story. It's just amazing. But don't worry, the questions are growing in Columbus. Not in Cincinnati, in Columbus. Here's Wolf Blitzer talking about the growing questions in Columbus.
We're also following developments in Columbus, Ohio, where there are now growing questions about the deadly police shooting of 16-year-old African-American Micaiah Bryant. Police are releasing more body camera video that appears to show Bryant wielding a knife and officers warning her several times to get down before she seems to lunge at another girl and police open fire.
Okay. The growing seems to lunge. Seems to, not lunges. Okay, and it was across the media. It was just lying about the case. Just lying about it. Outright. Pretty incredible. Coming up, more of this special episode of The Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time is coming for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Green Bear, your friendly old change.
Many accidents are caused by worn wiper blades. Let's face it, it's just uncomfortable when you're driving in the rain, snow, fog, and everything else in between with worn blades. At Premier Oil Change, when you buy one wiper blade, you get the second blade free. Yes, now through January 15th, you buy one wiper blade and get the second one free for as little as $15.99. At Premier Oil Change, we make maintaining your car easy. There's no need for an appointment. You don't drop your car off or wait. Just pull in, enjoy a free beverage and free Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier's in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park and our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable Pizza. All locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Home of the friendly oil change.
As part of Operation Holiday Salute, Redding Kia would like to take this moment to thank our veterans and those currently enlisted in the military for their service. Since 2006, Redding Kia has set out to be the premier automobile dealership in the North State. There's always a military incentive rebate on all new 2022 Kias at Redding Kia. Test drive the 2022 Kia Sorento today. Redding Kia, home of the 20-year, 200,000 limited-mile powertrain warranty. 418 East Cypress Avenue, RedingKia.com.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction.
Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Welcome back. You're listening to a special episode of The Ben Shapiro Show. The Black Lives Matter movement is not about black lives. It is only about wrecking the cops. So make no mistake, this is not about police officers behaving in ways that violate the law. This is not about Derek Chauvin and whether Derek Chauvin committed manslaughter or second-degree murder. This is about police officers just doing their jobs. Okay, now I'm going to show you the actual body cam footage. I think it's important that you actually see the body cam footage of what happened in this particular case. Here's the actual body cam footage of what happened in this particular case, because by all the narrative that I've given you to this point, you would think that the cop did something wrong. The cop saved a black girl's life. That's what happened here. But he wasn't supposed to save the black girl's life. He was supposed to let Makia Bryant stab this other girl to death. And then he would have been doing his job, apparently, because Black Lives Matter does not give a damn about black lives unless it also has to do with dismantling the police. That's the real agenda. Here is the body cam footage.
What's going on? Hey, what's going on? Hey, get down!
Hey, no, you ain't shoot my fucking baby! You shot my baby! Oh, you
shot my baby! Okay, that girl is coming out. If you screen cap it, what you will see from the body cam footage is Makia Bryant lunging at the other girl with a knife. You can see her do it. I mean, it's horrifying footage. You don't watch. That's a knife in her hand. She has a knife in her hand. She's about to stab this other girl. In fact, the woman who didn't get stabbed, this woman who's wearing the pink bodysuit, she says later in the body cam footage, she was trying to stab me with a knife. Here she was.
She came out at you with a knife earlier?
No, she just, that's what the police
that,
did.
That lady
she came
on the floor?
She came after me.
With
so,
a knife?
Yeah, so he got her.
But that woman whose life was just saved by the cop, her life apparently doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If she'd been stabbed to death right there on the sidewalk, wouldn't matter because Makia Bryant made TikTok videos and the cop is bad because the cop is white and cops are always bad. Michael Eric Dyson of MSNBC said that, you know, the police show more discretion when it's whites wielding machetes. Again, statistically speaking, more whites than blacks are shot by the cops. And according to Professor Mostas at John Jay College, police are more likely to shoot a white suspect who is a danger to them than a black suspect. But none of that matters. Here's Michael Eric Dyson lying.
The police will not exercise discretion, will not use a reduced sense of engagement to preserve black life. We see constantly, we see videos of white people wielding machetes, chasing police people around. A white man with a gun on his seat as the police extract their revolvers from their holsters, pointing them at him, demanding he get out, and he refuses to and takes off, and they don't shoot him.
It's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. I mean, it's not true. Okay, there's a lot of body cam footage. All body cam footage is by its very nature anecdotal because it's a single incident. All we have are data, and the data do not back up anything that Michael Eric Dyson is saying right there. None of that matters. The only thing that matters is that the cops suck and they need to be gotten rid of, and if that means more dead black people, the media don't give two dams about it. It's unbelievable. You want to talk about systemic racism? The systemic racism of a media that does not care if thousands of additional black people die every year because the cops aren't there to protect them against people committing criminal acts, the media are responsible for that. The media are pushing that. It's unreal. Politicians are pushing this, by the way. MSNBC's Joy Reid, who is just a font of utter insanity on a constant basis, here's what she tweeted out with regard to Makia Bryant. So there's a woman named Brittany Cooper who said, I'm not watching that body cam footage. Always, it's amazing how many people will preface a statement that is false by saying that they won't look at the evidence that their statement is false. I'm not watching that body cam footage, but we see story after story of the cops managing to take white men who threatened them with guns, knives, and even ran their cars into police officers alive. Yet somehow, anytime they engage with black folks, it's shoot first. And Joy Reid said this part right here. There's no statistical evidence this is the case, and you have to admire the incredible temerity of people who say, I refuse to look at the evidence, but... Okay, and then she followed that up, said, thanks, Professor Crunk. Her TikTok videos broke my heart. We decided we wanted our audience to see her joyful and alive. Whatever happened to that house between those girls, an adult should have tried to talk them down and help. Makia Bryant did not need to die. She was a child. Well, you know, obviously, you know, whatever happened, including a person lunging another person with a knife, the cops, what are the cops supposed to do? Talk to her while she's attempting to stab somebody? What is the preferred outcome? Would a social worker have been really useful right about that moment when Makia Bryant was flying out that front door and trying to stab that other girl? Well done from Joy Reid. Cornell William Brooks on CNN, same thing. Says this was just a schoolyard fight. So now the left is full-scale engaged in downplaying deadly criminal activity to own the cops. It's pretty unbelievable. Here is Cornell William Brooks on CNN.
The question we have to ask ourselves, what if it were your daughter? What if it were your child? What if it were a member of your family, your neighbor, in a essentially a teenage fight, a schoolyard fight? Certainly the facts will emerge, but we are right to ask, why can't we put the accent on life, yeah. Children's lives, as opposed to simply assuming the best we can do is simply kill another child?
We saw the body cam footage. It was just a schoolyard fight, though. It's just a schoolyard fight, you know, like a schoolyard fight, like the one in which a 13-year-old girl was killed in Cincinnati, Ohio, that you don't care about her name, Nyara Gibbons. You don't care about her. Don't bother saying her name. She's just a statistic. This is an incident. She was just a statistic, and she's just a statistic because she wasn't killed by a white cop. It is truly unbelievable. So it didn't stop there. Bree Newsom, who's a Black Lives Matter activist, her tweets were flying around the internet yesterday. Quote, teenagers have been having fights, including fights involving knives, for eons. We do not need police to address these situations by showing up to the scene and using a weapon against one of the teenagers. Y'all need help. I mean that seriously. I mean, hell, in Romeo and Juliet, teenagers were stabbing each other. We didn't need anybody to stop that. I mean, the Jets and the Sharks are going at each other routinely. Knife fights. It's just a thing teenagers do. I remember in my teenage days when old Bob took off one of my ears and we laughed together, had a beer. It's just something teenagers do. Cops shouldn't be involved when teenagers fight each other with knives. Okay, and this goes all the way up to the White House. Jen Psaki, who has been briefed on the situation, she says that this is just another element of systemic racism. It's always systemic racism. Systemic racism. Again, the truly systemically racist people are the people who pursue policy that is designed and known to lead to more black loss of life. That would be systemic racism, is if you pursue a policy that you know indubitably will lead to more dead black people. And then you pursue that policy. So let's say that policy, removing all the cops from areas of high crime, which is exactly what Democrats are doing. Would you call that systemic racism? Looks a lot more like systemic racism than the cops saving one black girl by shooting a black girl who's attempting to kill her. Here is Jen Psaki engaging in some systemic racism of her own here.
The killing of 16-year-old Makayla Bryant by the Columbus police is tragic. She was a child. We're thinking of her friends and family and the communities that are hurting and grieving her loss. And her death came, as you noted, just as America was hopeful of a step forward after the traumatic and exhausting trial of Derek Chauvin and the verdict that was reached. So our focus is on working to address systemic racism and implicit bias head on, and of course to passing laws and legislation that will put much needed reforms into place at police departments around the country.
It's unbelievable. A cop shoots a black girl to save another black girl, and the outcome is systemic racism and implicit bias from the White House. From the White House. And then you have LeBron James, the greatest and wisest of all Americans. LeBron James is a visionary. I mean, he's willing to take millions of dollars from China and allow China to basically commit whatever human rights violations they want to commit, and then he'll defend China. Sure, LeBron James doesn't know his ass from his elbow when it comes to actual statistics with regard to policing or race in the United States. Sure, LeBron James, who is worth approximately $1 billion, goes around talking about how he lives in existential fear of the cops, which is pretty incredible. Sure, LeBron James doesn't really know things. But here's the thing. The media have dubbed him a new wonder worker in American politics. They've dubbed him an important figure in American politics, even though he doesn't know things. When I say that LeBron James doesn't know things, I mean, it's pretty obvious he doesn't know things. I mean, just last year, he was carrying around the autobiography of Malcolm X, and he was asked specifically, what do you like about this autobiography? And the tape is somewhat revealing. LeBron James knows the slogans, but didn't know much beyond that. So here's LeBron James explaining what he loves most about Malcolm X's autobiography about a year ago.
So you're holding the autobiography of Malcolm X along with Alex Haley. I don't know how far you are into the book, but what's your biggest takeaway so far?
Just a very, very smart man. Very, very, very smart man. And basically, his words in the 60s and what was going on is actually what's going on today still.
Well, it's that sort of brilliant knowledge and incredible wisdom and real insight about race in America that led LeBron James to tweet yesterday a picture of the cop in this case. The cop who just saved a black girl's life. There's a picture of the cop, and it said, "You're next." All capitals. "You're next." With a little hourglass next to it. Hashtag accountability. He didn't care about the circumstances. He didn't care about any of that. All that mattered, it was white cop, black person got shot. Nothing else mattered. Then he took it down, because it turns out that he looked like an insane fool. Because it turns out that when you attack a police officer for saving a black person's life, you look like a damned ass. But LeBron James didn't care about that, because LeBron James doesn't care about honesty. All he cares about is the fact that he's been treated as a princely figure in American life his entire adult life. He tweeted out. He took it down. Here's what he tweeted. "I'm so damn tired of seeing black people killed by police." I notice he's not so damn tired of seeing black people killed by other black people, because he never tweets about that. He doesn't care about that. He doesn't care if the police save black people by killing black victimizers. That doesn't matter to him. "He's so damn tired of seeing black people killed by police. I took the tweet down because it's being used to create more hate. Not because you're wrong. Not because you look like an ass. Not because it was used to create more hate." Oh, it was a hateful tweet. You were literally calling for the prosecution of a police officer who just saved a black woman's life, LeBron. He said, "This isn't about one officer." It's never just about one officer. It's about the entire system. And they always use our words to create more racism. I am so desperate for more accountability. How about some accountability for your own words, LeBron? How about some accountability for slandering a man who just saved a black woman's life? I hope he sues LeBron out of existence. Seriously. I hope LeBron has to sign him a nice big fat settlement check for that tweet. He would certainly deserve it. But this is LeBron's America, don't you understand? LeBron is a thought leader. The media agree with LeBron. The White House agrees with LeBron. The circumstances of these cases do not matter. There's only one uniting thread, and that is that white America and all of its systems are racist, and that any white cop who shoots a black person, even in the course of doing his job or saving other black people, is bad, because that, again, is indicative of how terrible the system is. I'll get to more of this in just one second, because this has some real consequences in policy. And those consequences in policy, by the way, will end with more dead black people. In a study recently done between 2014 and 2019, the Ferguson protests, the Black Lives Matter movement, has resulted in somewhere between 1,000 and 6,000 more dead people, mostly black, in America's major cities. Over the course of last year, murder rate in America's major cities, 34 of America's major cities, averaged a 30% increase. In certain cities, it was up almost 100%. In just a second, we'll get to more of this, more of the left pushing the lie that the police are the bad guys here. It's just about cop hatred. And the whirlwind that is being reaped will be sown in terms of more innocent dead people, many of them black. It's devastating stuff. We're going to get to more of this in just one second. First, if you really enjoy The Ben Shapiro Show and The Daily Wire, we have a bunch of other shows over at DailyWire.com. Let Matt Walsh tell you about his show.
Hey, this is Matt Walsh, host of The Matt Walsh Show. Most of us, you know, don't wake up in the morning thinking about what the bureaucrats in D.C. are up to. At least I don't. Our concerns are more immediate than that, which is why I focus on social issues, culture, family, faith, even sometimes pop culture. Political issues are important, but I don't think they're the most important thing or the most entertaining thing, frankly. So if you're looking for a conservative show that goes beyond politics and brings you stories the mainstream media tries to ignore, come check out The Matt Walsh Show, Monday through Friday, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, YouTube, Facebook, anywhere you go for podcasts, I'm there. Plus, if you check it out on DailyWire.com, you can watch the entire show ad-free. The Matt Walsh Show. Check it out. I'll see you there.
If you're looking for cynicism, depression, and also hilarity, Matt is the place to go. Make sure you check out Matt's show. Coming up, more of this special episode of The Ben Shapiro Show.
Happy holidays from Reading Electric Utility, your community-owned electric utility for 100 years. On behalf of all REU employees, we are wishing you a safe and happy holiday season. Please remember, holiday safety starts with you. Never overload an extension cord or electrical circuit. Make sure extension cords and lights are rated for outdoor use. And remember never to expose electrical outlets or connections to rain. Reading Electric Utility has been honored to serve you in 2021 and wishes you and your family a happy and healthy new year.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
All of us at Crown Motors want to take this opportunity to thank our veterans, active duty, and first responders for their service to our country and community. We also wish to express our appreciation to the families of these heroes who also have sacrificed to keep our nation and our community safe. Have a wonderful holiday season, and remember that everything you do is so appreciated by your neighbors, community, and the people at Crown Motors of Reading.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way next to Dutch Bros in downtown Reading has the perfect gift this holiday season. Car wash coupons, or choose from four different car wash packages. Car washes start at just $9, or you can choose from a variety of car wash packages. Buy five car wash packages and get one free, or buy 10 and get three free. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
Welcome back. You're listening to a special episode of The Ben Shapiro Show. Very important people in America's racial conversation just lie outright about circumstances surrounding police shootings. The lie matters more than the truth. You want to talk systemic racism, you got to talk about the fact that there are so many people in positions of power on the left who do not give a damn if innocent black people die because they've decided to wreck the cops. That includes people like Benjamin Crump, who can be found at every racial conflagration in America. He tweeted out, this is what he tweeted after the Makia Bryant shooting, quote, "As we breathed a collective sigh of relief today, a community in Columbus felt the sting of another police shooting as Columbus police killed an unarmed 15-year-old black girl named Makia Bryant. Another child lost. Another hashtag. Hashtag justice for Makia Bryant." Okay, one problem. She wasn't unarmed. That's typical of Ben Crump. Ben Crump says that kind of crap all the time. Every single case where Ben Crump jet sets, he completely botches the fact pattern, and then the media pick up the fact pattern and they start mimicking the lying fact pattern. Valerie Jarrett, former chief of staff to Barack Obama, she tweeted out, "A black teenage girl named Makia Bryant was killed because a police officer immediately decided to shoot her multiple times in order to break up a knife fight. Demand accountability. Fight for justice." So now you don't just want cops to go to jail for using excessive force like Derek Chauvin. You want cops to go to jail for stopping the murder of another black person. Here's what I'm gathering. All you want is the cops in jail. That's all. You just want the cops in jail. Or you don't want there to be cops at all. And in fact, some people are being pretty clear about this. Hundreds of people gathered at Ohio State University. They gathered outside the Ohio Union. They staged a sit-in inside the building on Wednesday to protest Ohio State's relationship with the Columbus Police following the recent Columbus Police killing of Makia Bryant. First of all, I think that the Columbus Police, if they have the option, should just tell Ohio State University, "You're on your own. Enjoy." Seriously, have at it, everybody. We're out. Organizers told the crowd the protest was for police abolition, not reform. They also called out the university for not acknowledging Tuesday's shooting and said its relationship with Columbus police makes students feel unsafe. Oh, the students feel unsafe, do they? Imagine how unsafe they will feel when there are no cops. Because you know who's going to be the chief target of crime if you get rid of the cops at Ohio State University? All the privileged kids going to Ohio State University. That's who. A lot of laptops lying around in backpacks at Ohio State University. The protest came after Bryant, a black 16-year-old girl in foster care, was shot and killed on the southeast side of Columbus on Tuesday. Protesters sat in silence inside the Ohio Union for 16 minutes for Bryant's age in solidarity with her. No solidarity with the girl she was trying to stab, I've noticed. But again, the facts don't matter. I mean, it's impressive stuff. It's impressive stuff. And again, it has nothing to do with anything except cop hatred. That's all. It's just anti-cop hatred. And it'll be reflected in policy because that is, in fact, the next step is the reflection in policy, which is why what you are seeing right now is the Biden DOJ cracking down on the Minneapolis Police Department. So the same Minneapolis police that just had the chief testify against an officer and had several officers testify against an officer, now the Biden Justice Department has announced an investigation of the Minneapolis Police Department. According to Annie McCarthy, fired Minneapolis Police Department officer Derek Chauvin was convicted yesterday afternoon on all three homicide counts in the racially charged George Floyd case. With the inevitability of the morning sun, Attorney General Merrick Garland, super moderate guy, announced this morning the Justice Department is launching a pattern or practice investigation of the MPD. The pretext is that the evidence in Chauvin's case suggests the police department as a whole is riven by systemic racism. This despite the fact that some of the most compelling testimony in Chauvin's trial came from MPD officials. You knew it was coming. The Obama administration made a habit of exacerbating tensions created by police-involved incidents involving black men. Its Justice Department then exploited such controversies to carry out a federalization of local law enforcement in conformance with Obama-preferred progressive policing. The feds don't go after the locals on the individual case. There'll be no civil rights criminal prosecution of Chauvin and the other ex-cops because they don't have the actual material to do so. Instead, the DOJ uses vague standards Democrats have written into civil law, amplified by the DOJ's gargantuan budget for litigating against states and municipalities to quote-unquote reform entire police departments. As Annie McCarthy wrote several years ago, the Justice Department civil rights investigations that Eric Holder was fond of announcing are not like public trials. They occur out of the public eye, where feverish Justice Department claims are not aired and scrutinized. More significantly, they happen with the air of extortion created by the nearly $28 billion in funding Congress keeps giving justice every year, no matter how many congressional investigations it obstructs, false statements its officials make, how much it politicizes law enforcement. During the Obama administration, there were more than 20 major American cities and their police departments beholden to the Obama Justice Department. They signed consent decrees that basically allowed the feds to run the police departments to the great detriment of the citizens of these cities, who were then affected by the fact that the police couldn't actually do their job. Seattle was snagged by the DOJ. It's been under a consent decree since the Justice Department targeted it in 2012 for a quote-unquote pattern or practice of violations, allegedly including subjecting individuals to excessive force, and crime went up, because that's how all of this works. Meanwhile, other cities are looking to crack down on their own police force. Apparently, Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot is considering requiring a superior's permission before you actually engage in a foot chase. So if somebody has a gun and they're running away from a cop, you have to call into your superior and ask, can I chase this person who is dangerous and carrying a gun and running around the city after having just shot at a moving car, for example? You have to call a superior. Makes sense? Meanwhile, in Manhattan, they are no longer prosecuting prostitution as part of a nationwide shift. Prosecutors, local prosecutors in major American cities have decided they're not going to prosecute low-level crimes. We're about to see an explosion of crime in the major cities that we haven't seen since the 1960s. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be horrifying for the citizens who live in these cities. But if democracy is the theory, as H.L. Mencken put it, that the people deserve to get what they want, good and hard, then they're about to get it, good and hard. I don't know a single cop who's not thinking about quitting right now. Every cop I know who is on a force is attempting to get off street duty. Because why in the world would you be on street duty when you could go and save a black person's life and then be condemned in the media and consigned to the hell of a country that turns on you and calls you emblematic of systemic racism for saving a black person's life, for volunteering to take a job in which you are in the highest crime communities to save innocent black people? You are now called a member of a systemically racist system. You're about to see an explosion of crime. You are. And the consequences are not going to be, as I keep saying over and over, they won't be held by Ben Crump. The consequences are not going to be held by Al Sharpton. The consequences are never going to fall upon Wolf Blitzer at CNN or Jason Johnson over at MSNBC or Jonathan Capehart of the Washington Post. Those people are doing fine. The consequences are going to be felt by people who live in high crime areas, who just want to live their lives, who just want to run their business, who do live in everyday fear of criminality. Those people are the ones who pay the price because of the most, maybe the most robust finding in social science, when you get rid of the cops, people die. Congressional Republicans right now, they should be pushing a bill to the floor right now for increased funding for the cops all over the country, because Democrats are certainly pursuing the opposite. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Both sides have fired a few verbal salvos as Washington and Moscow have each put each other on notice. White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
For the second time in recent weeks, President Biden spoke with Vladimir Putin about concerns over Russia's military buildup along the Ukraine border. In their Thursday phone call, the president warned Moscow of possible new sanctions if Russia invades Ukraine. Putin responded with a warning, saying that further U.S. sanctions would be a colossal mistake that would entail grave consequences. Greg Clugston, Washington.
In Colorado, authorities say there have been several minor injuries, but so far, thankfully, no deaths have been reported in the wake of those wildfires. Nearly 600 structures have been destroyed. Also at townhall.com, the legendary Betty White, dead at the age of 99.
On TV, White was on the Mary Tyler Moore Show and the Golden Girls.
Thank you for being a friend.
It was the herring who did the juggling.
Her career started in 1949. In a 1995 AP interview, Betty White said fans felt like she was part of the family.
What you see is what you get.
Betty White's popularity grew as she got older. Her agent Jeff Witches says he truly never thought Betty White was going to pass away. She would have turned 100 January 17th. I'm Ed Donahue.
Well, the college football playoff national championship will be an all Southeast Conference affair. Alabama has defeated Cincinnati 27-6. Georgia knocking off Michigan. Final in that game was 34-11. Crimson Tide and the Bulldogs will be facing off January 10th in Indianapolis. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the three-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
You need an accurate thermometer to check for fever, a potential sign of flu or COVID. Be vigilant and contact your medical provider at the first sign of fever. Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer has been proven accurate in more than 100 clinical studies. Exergen Temporal Scanners are available at Walmart and other fine retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com. That's Exergen.com. Exergen is changing the way the world takes temperature.
Well, a survey shows Chinese factory activity edged higher in December as supply disruptions eased somewhat and export demand weakened.
The monthly Purchasing Managers Index shows an increase to 50.3 from November's 50.1. That's on a 100-point scale on which numbers above 50 show activity accelerating. Chinese manufacturing has been hampered by shortages of some components, including semiconductors and disruptions in shipping.
That is correspondent Jeremy House reporting. European Central Bank celebrating the 20th anniversary of euro notes and coins as member countries wrestle with the pandemic's impact on the economy, and the EU forges a new level of financial cooperation to boost the economy. Introduction of notes and coins in 12 countries came about January 1st in 2002. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. Well, the jury has held Teva Pharmaceuticals responsible for contributing to the opioid crisis. John Scott has more.
Jurors delivered their verdict in a sweeping lawsuit filed by New York State and joined by two Long Island counties. The Suffolk County jury found the company played a role in furthering a public nuisance. Teva is known for making generic drugs, but the lawsuit focused on the brand name fentanyl drugs Actiq and Fentora. They are approved for some cancer patients. The lawsuit accused Teva of repeatedly promoting them more broadly for other types of pain. Teva says it strongly disagrees with the verdict and plans to appeal. John Scott reporting.
Two people have been shot and wounded following an apparent altercation at the Mall of America in Minnesota, sending shoppers scrambling. Police say so far no arrests have been made. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Get ready, Val. You're going in for a problem.
Wait a minute. Say that again, Mr. President. What did you say to Vladimir Putin on the phone?
Get ready, Val. You're going in for a problem.
There it is.
Well, welcome to it. Welcome to New Year's Eve on the Chris Plant Show with Mike Opelka in for Chris Plant. We are putting a big bow on 2021, stuffing it into a garbage bag, industrial sized, and throwing it out the front door. Good riddance. I'm not even sorting. I'm not even going to separate the recyclables from the regular detritus, the trash that should have gone into the compost pile. Just going to shove it all in the bag and toss it out the front door. Then you sweep the floor to get all the bad spirits out, right? And you make room for new good things in 2022. So much that we have to get to today. Man, we got a whole list of stuff. And I would like to hear from you today. I would love it if you would help us on the Chris Plant Show mark the end of this year with what you consider to be the biggest successes and biggest failures. What were the brightest stars and the biggest flops and losers? You can pick one in each category, and you can also proclaim the wokest thing you witnessed this year. I have an entire list. I have a top five list of the top five stars in Washington, D.C., and the top five losers in D.C. we'll get to. Got to cover that. We will also explain why I'm telling everyone that Nancy Pelosi gave me an STD. It's not what you think. Stop with the filthy minds. But Nancy Pelosi, you know, she sent over an STD just for me. Well, and you got one too, if you didn't know. We'll talk about that. We also have to send out some good thoughts and prayers to our friends in Colorado. My goodness, did you see the video yesterday? It was early in the afternoon here on the East Coast, but around 11 o'clock, a power line fell just outside of Denver, in the Denver suburbs, as they call it. and sparked a wildfire that has burned almost 600 homes, and people were fleeing. I saw people running out of a Chuck E. Cheese, parents taking their kids and saying, we got to get the heck out of here. It's terrible. So for all of those people, send out some thoughts and prayers. And for the firefighters who are out there on the front lines, apparently a snowstorm is coming through. A big snowstorm is coming through that should help. But you don't need that to start your new year. A bunch of people who evacuated were told, get out now. Just get out now. That would be more than disturbing. And they're coming home to the neighborhoods today after spending a night in a shelter. Think about that, the second to last night of the year. And they're coming home, and at least 580 of them will not have homes to come home to. No numbers on the loss of life that I'll see. I'll keep an eye on that. But that's just craziness, absolute craziness. So keep those folks in your prayers. I haven't heard a disaster declaration from Joe Biden on this yet. I wonder if anybody awakened him. I know he's busy yesterday. He had to forego his mid-afternoon nap in order to be on the phone with Vladimir Putin for 50 minutes. They were on the phone for 50 minutes, 5-0. The first call earlier this month was 3 hours. This was 50 minutes. Now, remember, everything has to be translated and then read back, and so it's not like that it's just a real 50-minute phone call. It's probably 10 minutes of actual dialogue, and the rest of it is translations going back and forth going, what did he say? And Putin saying, what did he say? And they finally got it down. But in the end, we're told that we issued a stern warning, you know, another finger wagging. And Vladimir Putin said, I'm paraphrasing, of course, because I was not listening in on the call. We were not permitted, but the readout on it is Putin basically saying, if you put any more financial sanctions on us, you will regret it. So we're threatening financial sanctions if they do anything else to bring Ukraine back into the fold of the old Soviet Union, and Vladimir says we will regret it. So that was yesterday. I don't think anything else happened. Joe Biden pictured, that's the photo of him, pictured in the very richly wood-paneled office in the Rehoboth Beach White House. Again, he's in Delaware, 31st time this year. Joe Biden has visited his home, one of his homes. He's got a home in Delaware, two in Delaware, one at the beach, one in Wilmington. And we're not allowed to know who comes by. It's a state secret because it's not the White House. I guarantee you, if it were an R after Joe Biden's name for party affiliation, that would be very different. Very, very different. As I said, we have a lot to cover today. There's new Fauci news, and just by the fact that there's new Fauci news might be an indication that there is going to be one of the positions on the biggest stars or biggest losers chart that I've put together that will be filled with Dr. Fauci. So make your nominations. You're welcome at 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625, to nominate any person. And I'm doing a couple lists. Like I said, D.C. has its own list of winners and losers because the federal government is so rich. And then there are some folks outside of D.C. who deserve our attention. Speaking of being outside of D.C. today, I wonder how the people of AOC's district feel today. They're standing in lines for hours, some of them in the rain, some of them in the cold, waiting for a test because COVID is ravaging New York, we are told, setting records as Bill de Blasio exits the city he destroyed over the last 8 years. Good job, de Blasio. He's probably going to run for governor. He failed running for president. Oh, by the way, he's also been told he has to pay several hundred thousand dollars back to the city of New York because he used NYPD as his security team while he was running for the presidency and didn't get any votes, really. Nobody likes it. He's horrible. He's an awful man who destroyed New York City. And now he's going to run for governor, and they'll probably elect him because New York has a history of making dumb decisions on elections because there's so many darn Democrats. I lived in New York City for 23 years in Midtown Manhattan on the East Side, and we were outnumbered, conservatives. It was 8-1, liberals to conservatives, 8-1. And people are saying, well, why did you live there? My job was there. My job happened to be in New York City for all those years. So it was tough, but they just make dumb decisions. I'm glad to be out. I have much deeper pockets and a stronger portfolio and a lot more freedom now that I'm out of New York City. And I miss being able to go back to New York, Rudy Giuliani's New York, even a little bit of Bloomberg's New York, because it wasn't a cesspool and just crime everywhere. But that's what we've got now. And we'll see. But happy New Year, everybody. I'm also going to point out some of the media missteps of the year. I talked about it yesterday, and I have some montages of media moments that we have to make sure we spend time on, because the media deserves a good finger wagging too, don't they? Yes, of course they do. Of course they do. I mentioned AOC. And the people of New York standing outside for hours waiting for tests. She's in Miami without a mask and sitting on a sidewalk cafe, lifting a drink with a man in shorts, a bearded man in shorts, and doesn't seem to have a care in the world while her constituents are trying to fight to get a test. A test which may or may not be accurate. We're going to get into that, too. As I said, it's going to be a very busy final day of 2021. And we have to make sure we get every little bit of 2021 out of here. You know, it's like those crime scenes and those murder shows when they come in with the luminol and they spray it and you can see little droplets of blood. Well, that's how I want to deal with 2021. I want to scrub every bit of 2021 out of here and get rid of it. So when the police come in with the 2021 luminol and they spray it, they don't have anything light up. I just want to make sure. Phones are starting to get active. 888-630-9625. Donna in Frederick's on the phone. Hello, Donna. Welcome to the Chris Plant Show.
Hello, and I wish you a very happy new year, and hopefully this year will be better than the previous. My big things, the biggest one for me, and I think with what's going on in D.C., this really needs to be at the top. The January 6th supposed insurrection, when the real insurrection took place on November 3rd. And then my second thing was, we withdrew everyone from Afghanistan, supposedly. Well, to this day, there's still families stuck over there. And I think I'll top it off with the biggest lie of all, which is the transient economy and the subversion of the public via the whole fake vaccine pandemic. And I'm sorry to say it, but the more I've read into this, and I've been doing it for months now, the worse it looks. The FDA never even approved that Comirnaty vaccine. I've been reading that this morning from a very reliable source. So, you know, you take all those things together, and it's one giant mess, and that's what we got in 2021.
Well, I'm with you on especially on the withdrawal from Afghanistan and what happened and what still has not finished in Afghanistan. I have an entire section of clips dedicated to Biden's complete screw up there. I almost said something horrible. And in terms of elevating January 6th to the status of a national holiday or a memorial day online with September 11th of 2001 or Pearl Harbor Day, that's what the Democrats are doing. In fact, I mentioned it earlier that Nancy Pelosi had given me an STD. She sent me a save the date. That's what that means. It's not what somebody thought. She sent me a save the date for January 6th because she has a whole plan of things that are going to happen on that day to mark the one-year anniversary of what the left likes to call an insurrection and what most thinking people call a riot, where people who broke the law should be detained, charged, arrested, and if convicted, locked up or fined. And they're intent on making this something along the lines of the attack on Pearl Harbor or the attacks of September 11th. Not even close. So, Nancy Pelosi, thanks for the STD, but no thanks. I'm going to be spending that day doing normal, smart things and making sure that we don't let the crazies take over. Donna, thank you for all of your loyalty to this show, and I appreciate your careful thoughts on the best and the worst of the past year. Thank you very much. I got to take a break here. When we get back, we'll get to more of the best and the worst, and some of the clips I promised you, as well as more nominations to the Kakistocracy cabinet of Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. Anybody seen the Health and Human Services Secretary, Javier Becerra, kind of missing in action? Can we put a bolo out on Mr. Becerra? Let's see. Mike Opelka for Chris Plant on The Chris Plant Show.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Cancer. So many lives are touched by cancer. In fact, one in two men and one in three women will be diagnosed with cancer. At the American Cancer Society, we're on a mission to free the world from cancer. It's a big mission, driven by little things like a ride to treatment, a free place to stay, a 24/7 helpline. But these little things are really the big things, because to a cancer patient and their family, they're everything. And every day we reach thousands of cancer patients who so desperately need these services. But we need your help to get these critical services to more people and families in need this holiday season. Go to cancer.org and join the fight against cancer. It takes just minutes to donate and help provide essential support to cancer patients and their families. Don't wait. More than one in three people will be diagnosed with cancer. Go to cancer.org right now and make a difference. Go to cancer.org.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents.
And Doug.
Don't you just love the smell of old books?
This is a library.
Sorry, ma'am. We're looking for a book titled Liberty Mutual Customizes Your Car Insurance So You Only Pay for What You Need.
I don't think we carry that, but check nonfiction.
It really does devour literature.
Please leave.
Only pay for what you need.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
I have an office at work and at home. I need to get them both organized and ready for the new year.
It's possible at Staples. But that's because your local Staples store has everything your business needs to start the year off strong. From organizational supplies, like file folders and banker's boxes, to calendars. And this week, True Red Desk Pad calendars start at just $3.99. Explore what's new at your local Staples Connect, the working and learning store. Offer ends 1/1/22. In-store only while supplies last.
Gift the best with the best steaks of your life from Omaha Steaks, America's original butcher since 1917. Perfectly aged, tender, unforgettable, and guaranteed delicious. Go to omahasteaks.com and enter Sizzle into the search bar and save over 50% when you order the perfect gift package for just $99.99. You'll get 24 entrees plus 4 boneless chicken breasts and 4 boneless pork chops free. Incredible flavor, value, and 100% guaranteed. Achieve gifting greatness at omahasteaks.com. Keyword Sizzle.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Gift the best with the best steaks of your life from Omaha Steaks, America's original butcher since 1917. Perfectly aged, tender, unforgettable, and guaranteed delicious. Go to omahasteaks.com and enter Sizzle into the search bar and save over 50% when you order the perfect gift package for just $99.99. You'll get 24 entrees plus 4 boneless chicken breasts and 4 boneless pork chops free. Incredible flavor, value, and 100% guaranteed. Achieve gifting greatness at omahasteaks.com. Keyword Sizzle.
It is the Chris Plant Show with Mike Opelka sitting in for Chris Plant, taking your nominations for the biggest stars of 2021 and the biggest losers of 2021. 888-630-9625. I have a list that I will share with you. I also want to focus on what's happened in the past year as we get ready to say goodbye to 2021. And there's a list, too, of all the famous names we lost this year, but I think it's appropriate that we theme today's show because the America we're in today is Joe Biden's America.
Biden's America.
Poor kids are just as tall as white kids.
It's Biden's America.
Blind dog face pony soldier.
It's Biden's America. He knows what we'll see.
You know the thing.
You know the thing.
Get your words straight, Jack.
Come on, man.
Yeah, come on, man. As we look back on Joe Biden's first year in office, which I term as a dismal failure, a just terrible year. I can't remember any president having this bad a year. It was always Jimmy Carter was the go-to. And now Joe Biden knocked Jimmy Carter out of the top of the worst first year for a president ever. And I don't know how you recover from this. Jim Jordan, who I was waxing poetic about yesterday, Jim Jordan talks about Biden's America, and Jim Jordan talks about what we faced this year and what we ended up with. And I think this encapsulates it beautifully.
Well, in Joe Biden's America, everything costs more. You want to buy a home, it's going to cost more. You want to rent an apartment, it's going to cost more. To put food on the table, it costs more. To put gas in your car, it costs more. Thanksgiving turkey, Christmas presents, everything costs more because we're at a 31-year high in inflation because the Democrats' economic plan is the dumbest in history. Lock down the economy, spend like crazy, pay people not to work, and then for everyone who is working, oh, they're getting ready to raise your taxes. Such a deal. So Americans get it, and that's why 71% of the country, unfortunately, it's a tough situation we're in, but 71% of the country understands we're on the wrong track.
Yep, wrong track. Completely on the wrong track. Well summarized. Mr. Jordan, well summarized. Joe Biden, though, tried to tell us everything's great. He keeps saying how good the economy is, and we're not back above the pre-pandemic era. We are not back up to the level we were before the pandemic hit. And we're rounding the corner now on the end of second full year. And in March, I believe we will start the third year of this. Anyone think this is going away? I don't. I certainly do not think this is going away. And I believe that the Faucis of the world are going to work to keep this alive as long as they can. We'll get into Fauci. He made the list very, very strongly, the list of the worst people, the losers of 2021. He's right up there. And something Mr. Fauci said yesterday cemented his spot among the top three. I'll share it with you just around the corner. And you're welcome to join me too. 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625. It's Mike Opelka in for Chris Plant on The Chris Plant Show.
This is The Chris Plant Show.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Fabulous fall specials going on now at High Noble Safe Company at 2559 Larkspur Lane. Also in Roseville and Petaluma. High Noble Safe Company has fireproof and waterproof safes. Protect your guns, cash and valuables, heirlooms and collectibles, and important documents. With delivery, moving and repair service available in Reading, Roseville and Petaluma. Call 530-223-5050. That's 530-223-5050 or stop by High Noble Safe Company at 2559 Larkspur Lane today.
At Golden Valley Bank, our mission is to create a truly unique local banking experience. We understand how important it is to be known and heard by your bank. That's why we take the time to connect with you and the community you live in. When you bank with us, we put your money back into our community by supporting local nonprofits who provide services for those that need it most. Golden Valley Bank, a bank built for business, a bank built for community, a bank built for you. Learn more at goldenvalley.bank. Member FDIC.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filotto, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filotto, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft.
Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
It's Michael Pelka on the Chris Plant Show for my friend Chris Plant as we start to wrap up this year, 2021, start to put 2021 to bed, finally. I'm not a big New Year's Eve celebrator because I've often worked New Year's Eves right up to midnight when we worked in New York City. So the idea of being out amongst those people, because you get to watch the people. When you're working on New Year's Eve, you get to actually look and see what people are up to. And you realize that we do a lot of dumb things on New Year's Eve. So I often just stay home. My wife and I stay home. And we need to set an alarm to wake up at about 15 minutes before midnight because we usually crash. Who makes it to midnight? I don't know why the networks are even bothering. CNN should just put on a Yule log or something because of the year they've had. If you look back at CNN, I was making some notes. The last few months here for CNN, you know, started with the Jeffrey Toobin thing. What does Chris call him? Jeffrey Toobe out. Toobin, and then you had the Cuomo brothers taking down an entire show on CNN. Their highest ranked primetime show was Cuomo Primetime, as dismal as it was, as insane and inane as it was. That show got taken down because of the association of Chris Cuomo, Fredo, with his brother Andrew, the disgraced ex-governor. And then you go over to Don Lemon. So you have Don Lemon, who's still been credibly accused and is facing some kind of hearing or trial on the charges he sexually assaulted a man a few years ago in a bar in the Hamptons. You got Lemon, and you have Cuomo, who was helping his brother try and avoid a sexual harassment charge, or at least one. And Toobin, who was suspended for having the tube out while he was on a Zoom call at another job. Toobin's back, by the way. That's just amazing to me. And they'll have him comment, I'm sure, on the Epstein case, which is the height of hypocrisy, is it not? So that's insane. That's just insane to me. And now we have two, not one, but two CNN producers embroiled in allegations of child sex solicitation and or grooming, inappropriate behavior. What is going on at CNN, and how do you have any standing to make any comments about anyone? Seriously, CNN. So CNN is getting big alerts for its bad behavior, just awful behavior everywhere. And yet, they're still out there. There's still people who will go to CNN as a guest. And I guess there's money to be made if you will show up at CNN and dance to whatever music they are playing. So CNN gets an award you know, one of the bad awards for being awful. To give you an example of just how bad CNN was regarding the Cuomos, I have a little montage of these two going back and forth on the show, and it was almost a nightly thing. It got to be a little bit of a comedy event. I know they had the crossover between Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo all the time, but the Chris and Andrew show, the Fredo and Gropey McGropeface show, was really insane. Here's a little bit of CNN's disgraceful behavior over the past year.
Obviously, I'm aware of what's going on with my brother. The people can say and write what they want, but I want you to know the truth.
You've always been good at manipulation.
You're straight with me, I'll be straight with you. I don't believe in rules. I never misled anyone about the information I was delivering or not delivering on this program.
What you said is just not a fact. If it were a fact, you'd be right.
I never attacked nor encouraged anyone to attack any woman who came forward.
Look in a mirror before you open your mouth.
I know where the line is. I can respect it and still be there for my family. I never made calls to the press about my brother's situation.
You're going to pay, Chris. One day you're going to be better.
I'm not an advisor. I'm a brother. I wasn't in control of anything.
He's my big brother. I love him. Of course I'm not objective.
I tried to do the right thing, and I just want you all to know that.
The only honest thing I heard in that whole montage from Fredo was, he's my brother. I'm not objective. That was the only honest thing I heard out of that weasel. And they're both out of work. Now think about it. A year ago, those two guys were in positions of massive power and influence and earning power. The governor's out. His brother, who was one of the highest paid, if not the highest paid, employee at CNN in the on-air staff, he's out now, too. How quickly that turned. And I will tell you, you have to feel like those of us who thought, are the bad guys always going to win? You have to take heart in the fact that it appears that good and right will eventually win, that the karma hammer swings back the other way. And after we all watch Fredo pretend to rise from his COVID crypt and climb up the stairs when we all knew he'd been out and about, and then to see this come back home, it does make you feel good. Is that wrong for me to feel that way? Is it Schadenfreude? That's the correct description of how I'm feeling. It's the warm feeling you get at the misfortune of others. When these two ended up on the sidelines, I felt good. I was awash in Schadenfreude. And thank you, Germany, for a wonderful, wonderful world. Word. That word, Schadenfreude. Yeah, it comes from the Germans. CNN was also part of the attacks on Tucker Carlson. Now, I don't know Tucker Carlson. I've watched him occasionally. I find him to be a pretty good broadcaster, and he's entertaining as well. But CNN went after Tucker Carlson like nobody's business, and it was a very personal attack, an attack that I don't know if he deserved, but all of the left side of the mainstream media went after Tucker Carlson, and I think this deserves a huge award in our annual awards of media misbehavior. So left, all of the left, MSNBC and CNN, you get big props for your bad behavior here. And big props is not a good thing. We're wagging a finger at you.
Tucker Carlson is inciting violence.
Tucker Carlson has created a terrorist recruitment video.
So Tucker made this video, and the left side of the mainstream media doesn't want you to see it, so they're calling it a terrorism recruitment video, and he's inciting violence. Never mind, these are the people who told you that the protests that were looting and burning down cities were mostly peaceful. Never mind that.
Isn't this just an incitement to another January 6th? Mm. Is that what Tucker Carlson wants?
What Carlson is doing is unforgivable and really just horrible. I want to say criminal, but technically that's not true, although maybe it should be.
Why does Rupert Murdoch want to destroy America?
The Murdochs and Tucker Carlson, their primetime pyromaniac, appear to be hellbent on dragging this country into a civil war.
No, the people who appear to be hellbent into dragging this country into a civil war are those of you on the left who are supporting all of these lies. The ones who are constantly trying to use race to divide us. The ones who are constantly telling us that we're the racist when we all know the truth. That you guys are the ones who are selling and playing the race card every single day. CNN, MSNBC, you guys have a special place in the Hall of Shame in terms of 2021's media malpractice for what you did to Carlson. And I will tell you, what you did to Joe Rogan also deserves some special mention. Joe Rogan, very powerful guy in the world of podcasting. A lot of people have 3 hours to listen to his podcast. I don't. That's a whole lot of time. But it's getting so much attention that Joe Rogan was decided to be too powerful, that they had to take him down a step. Joe Rogan, a guy who previously had been kind of known as a liberal. Joe Rogan was more on the liberal side of things, but he's drifted towards an independent stance or a more libertarian approach to life where he wanted his freedom and he wanted small government. Isn't that the libertarian way? Giant freedom, small government. So Rogan was against the vaccine and he was outspoken about it. Well, that wasn't going to sit well with these people. That was not going to be allowed. How dare you? Dare you choose not to get it? And since he worked for himself, he didn't have to deal with any corporate mandate. So Rogan, unvaccinated, got COVID. And a lot on the left were happy about it. They took pleasure in it. They had their schadenfreude moment. And Joe Rogan chose to get treated with some of the popular therapeutic treatments for COVID, meaning monoclonal antibodies and something called ivermectin. Ivermectin is a treatment that helps people with COVID. It also happens to have another use in the veterinary world. And so in order to take Joe Rogan down a peg, the mainstream media organized and shared their thinking that Joe Rogan was taking a horse dewormer. And the smears were almost endless. Listen.
Joe Rogan, he came down with COVID. He says he's been taking the livestock dewormer, ivermectin.
Individuals like Joe Rogan, for example, who don't want to take an experimental vaccine but will take horse dewormer.
Wait a second. He said that he got better because he ate dewormer.
He may not have gotten it from the feed supply store, but it's the same compound.
You know, doctors say you could take it for humans.
When you have a horse deworming medication that's discouraged by the government, that actually causes some people in this crazed environment we're in to actually want to try it. That's the upside down world we're in with figures like Joe Rogan.
Now, Joe Rogan used more than just ivermectin, but that would have diluted this message that was trying to take him down, take him apart. They couldn't let the truth be out there. It's selective reporting. What they don't tell you would have damaged their story. Joe Rogan just went on with his business, and he invited Sanjay Gupta onto his powerful podcast. I don't know how CNN let this happen. But Rogan welcomed Sanjay Gupta onto his show.
Does it bother you that the news network you work for out and out lied?
Well,
just outright lied about me taking horse dewormer.
They shouldn't have said that.
Why did they do that?
I don't know.
And there it is. I still marvel at the fact that Sanjay Gupta was allowed to go on that show. I'm sure he got a talking to from his bosses at CNN. I'm sure Mr. Zucker gave him a good stern talking to and probably a finger wagging, because that's what they do, the left. I've got more of the mainstream media's bad behavior from 2021, and we'll cover it. We'll also take your nominations for either the woke moments of the year, if there's something out there that's woke. We've got some BLM stuff. We've got some sports woke moments, and my take on the best and the worst people in the swamp in D.C. You can join the conversation at 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. It's Mike Opelka in for Chris Plant on The Chris Plant Show. Happy New Year.
There's only one Chris Plant, The Chris Plant Show.
We're planning a trip to Spain later this year.
But our Spanish is
pretty bad.
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind. Babbel's conversation-based method teaches you real-life words and phrases. And with Babbel's interactive, bite-sized lessons, you'll remember what you learned.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿De dónde eres?
¿De dónde eres?
No matter your learning style or experience level, Babbel has lessons designed for you that will get you speaking quickly and confidently.
I tried learning Spanish before, but I couldn't stick with it until I found Babbel.
There's no easier way to learn another language.
Ahora hablamos español.
He just said, now we speak Spanish.
I can't wait to use our new language skills on our upcoming adventures.
Babbel, language for life. Celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
Look, staying healthy isn't easy. Watching your diet, hitting the gym, avoiding stress. But a good night's rest helps boost your overall health and wellness. And it couldn't be easier. The Sleep Number 360 smart bed effortlessly adjusts in response to both of you. The result? You wake up ready for anything. Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. Don't miss our New Year's special. Save up to $1,000 on Sleep Number 360 smart beds. Plus special financing. Ends Monday. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
Velvety paper feel. Exquisite colors. Stunning scale. At Staples, we sweat the details and quality of every print project. Stop by Staples and try our Print Big Promise. We're committed to getting your print job right, to treating your small business like a big deal, and guiding you from start to finish. Get 20% off signs, banners, and posters when you spend $75 or more. Offer ends January 1st. Visit staples.com/services/printing for details. Staples, where small business prints big.
Gift the best with the best steaks of your life from Omaha Steaks, America's original butcher since 1917. Perfectly aged, tender, unforgettable, and guaranteed delicious. Go to omahasteaks.com and enter Sizzle into the search bar and save over 50% when you order the perfect gift package for just $99.99. You'll get 24 entrees plus 4 boneless chicken breasts and 4 boneless pork chops free. Incredible flavor, value, and 100% guaranteed. Achieve gifting greatness at omahasteaks.com. Keyword Sizzle.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. 312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
It is the Chris Plant Show. Happy New Year. Mike Opelka is sitting in for my friend Chris Plant and getting ready to really eviscerate some of the people in D.C. We're going to have some fun next hour. Before we get there, you guys are weighing in. I'm glad to see the phones are lighting up. 888-630-9625 is the number. Marco on line one in Springfield. Hello, Marco. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Michael, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, sir. I got a feeling, before I open it up for you, I got a feeling Virginia is going to have a very good year. I'm very happy for the people of Virginia and what you guys accomplished this past year.
Yeah, we got off to a great start. The governor, the vice governor, shall I say, and the attorney general have all been replaced with people with a brain in their head. But I did want to call and say that instead of just the worst of the media, we should also have the dumbest politician of 2021. And, of course, the top of the list would be Dopey Joe himself, Kakula, and I haven't been to Europe. But I think Cory Booker was very entertaining when he thought that Omaha was a state when he was talking to Senator Sass.
I forgot about that. That was fantastic. Yeah. And I endured Cory Booker when I lived in New York City because he was in Newark, and he was regularly running into burning buildings and saving people, and he was like this wacky super. That's a great memory. Excellent. Thank you for reminding me of that. Yes.
Yeah. Stanford graduate. That's kind of spooky, isn't it?
Well, you know, it was AOC. He was a football guy, though, wasn't he? He was a jock.
Yeah. Yeah.
That explains
it. You know, some of those football players that come out of Stanford are still pretty sharp. Not him, of course, but AOC finally found out that plants actually grow in dirt. Cori Bush, who thinks that birthing people need to be represented. And, you know, Beto O'Rourke, of course, he's got classic ones, so many I can't even.
Oh, and he's back now. He's back.
Yeah, I
one of the great things about 2020 is the fact that we are going to have Beto O'Rourke to kick around again. It's just, I'm looking forward to that. You brought me all kinds of bright light, Marco. You know, I was kind of lamenting, and I do have my list right here of the best and the worst in D.C. I have a top five in D.C. and some of the outside of D.C. people, too. But, yes, we will be taking nominations, and also I will be sharing some of my list with you. But especially thank you for the Cory Booker. He is such a dolt. Spartacus. His Spartacus moments continue. Very good. Thank you, sir. Let's bounce over to Jason in Kensington on line two. Jason, welcome to the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, g'day, Mike. How you going, mate? Hey, I think my favorite one was sort of a humorous one was with, I think it was Cardi B, when it was mentioning her relative or one of her friends that got the vaccine and part of his anatomy had swelled up. And she got into sort of a...
Oh, a relative of a friend of hers. Who had some extra swelling in the groinal area.
Yeah, the classic. And then she got into some sparring match with Joy Reid, and Joy Reid sort of tried to make a point that she was Harvard graduated and all this sort of comparisons and, you know, one of these sort of you-know-who-I-am sort of moments. And I thought that was pretty – that one kind of stuck out as far as humor goes. But, you know, these people on the left, eventually it's so much harder to maintain a lie than it is to be truthful, because eventually it, you know, it comes back around and you look like an idiot. I mean, that's what's happening now with these people.
Oh, that's so true. That's so true. You know, we have to take a page out of Judge Judy's book, Jason, who tells us all the time that if you just tell the truth, you don't have to remember. It's just the truth. You don't have to worry about what you said yesterday.
Well, Tyson, you know, one of your colleagues, Dan Bongino, mentions all the time. He says, you know, study it for yourself and then draw your own conclusions. He said, you know, don't take it from me. You know, always look for yourself and find out for yourself.
Yeah, do your own work. We're almost out of here, Jason. I do have to tell you, I figured I'd give you the Australian Open update.
oh, man.
my nephew he's in Oz right now, and he's been through, I think, two levels of testing. You got to pass five before you're allowed to play, and he's in warm-ups before the preliminary tournament. But all's looking good for the young American, Riley Opelka.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll...
Just stay out of the quarantine camps. That's all.
yeah. You don't want to go there. Those are super spreader events. Yes. Thank you, and happy New Year to you, Jason. Appreciate you being there. It's Mike Opelka in for Chris Plant on the Chris Plant Show. So much more to go.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.